Hello.
Hello.
Hey.
Hey, you're coming in
Am I doing
clear.
good? I was hoping I was doing it right.
Yeah, I was a little worried, and first time's a charm.
Wonderful, because I don't usually do things right the first time,
Ah.
or the 10th time.
Well, I'm glad you got your hungry man in.
Oh yeah, I was starving.
You eat late like that?
Not. This is supposed to be dinner, and I'm off schedule because the wife took the kids to the beach,
Yeah.
and so I'm just kind of fending for myself and
And
ran up.
you didn't want to go to the beach?
I hate the beach. My wife loves it, so
Oh,
God bless her, she can have it.
you could have an umbrella and you could sit under that umbrella with sand on your feet and just read comic books. You take a stack of Sergeant Rock with you.
I would probably melt into a pile of goo, and there'd just be little water damaged piles of Sergeant Rock all around me.
Well, you don't sit that close to the water.
But it'd be the heat. I'm very hot natured.
Oh yeah, the it's there's it's pretty is it pretty humid there right now? I wouldn't think it would
It
be that
is.
bad in
The heat's been around
September.
the early 90s, and it rains. It feels like every day. It's probably more like every other day.
Well, where are
But
you at?
I am in deep South Georgia. I am
Oh
closer to
wow.
Tallahassee, Florida than I am to most of the Georgia
So
landmarks.
what beach is there that they go to?
I don't know where they went. She told me, I've forgotten. It wasn't something I could equate with the name of a comic book, so it immediately went out of my head.
Was
It
it Nor
wasn't
Normandy Beach or something like
right. That I could remember. No, this was
that?
somewhere on the Gulf. It's not Panama City Beach. It's not Destin, and that's all I can say for sure.
Well, I'm glad to have you, Kirk.
Well, I'm glad to be here.
You're on Collector's Corner.
Okay.
And why I wanted to have you is because you have a passion for comics, like I do. And you also have a passion for war comics. And I haven't been able to talk to many people that get war comics.
There are fewer and fewer of us, but we're a passionate bunch.
Yeah. So, how did you get into comics in general?
My parents were big onto reading, and they were always encouraging you to read. You had to read at bedtime. They would read to you before you learned to read. I mean, books were everywhere. And to me, comics were just another form of book until I got a stack of old war comics. And it was like something clicked, and I was like, wow, this is the greatest thing ever. I must have more of these as soon as possible.
What age was that, like where you got into the war comics?
I was probably around 3 or 4. I had
Wow, that's
not
pretty
yet.
young.
My grandmother, God bless her soul, she would sit me on her knee and read them to me, and I would insist on her reading every little sound effect, every little rat-a-tat-tat, every little brrr. And she would humor me and do it.
Oh,
And
bless her
we
soul. I
worked our
mean,
way
heck,
through those
that's awesome.
comics, read them ragged, and I've been hooked. I like all comics, but war comics are just, that's as good as it gets to me.
Did you have the plastic army men back in the day?
Oh yes.
You're
And I'm old enough where there were bicentennial soldiers that were issued. And they came in different colors. And I don't remember them specifically. I assume they were probably red coats, but I called them different colored war. And we would go everywhere looking for those things.
Oh wow. I'm not aware of those, but I did have the bicentennial figures that came in a box that you had to order from the comic book. And
Wow.
there were red and blue coats.
I never got to get any of the items in a comic ad until I was probably a teenager, and I think I joined the Archie fan club.
Yeah, I had those and then I had the army one. But the army one was so off scale because the soldiers were as big as the tanks and they
What?
were
That's
they
not
were
right.
well they had they were flat. They had like a base so you can stand them up. But they had no like three-dimensional substance. They were like flat.
So these
So
were not your typical
no,
little
those were
Green
the,
Army men.
yeah, these were the ones that you ordered from the comic book. But I did have
Okay.
the army men that were standard, I think, across the country that were the green ones that they have like in Toy Story and stuff like
Right.
that. Yeah. I had those. And then I had
Yeah,
this
I
thing
had a
called
ton of those.
Fort Navarone, which was this huge, it was a German fort. The mountain stands about, I don't know, it's about 2 feet tall, and it had two cannons that hang out of the mountain. I'll have to take a picture of it for you.
Yeah, I
But
want to see that.
it came with Nazi soldiers and American soldiers, but the American
Oh my
soldiers,
gosh!
the Americans had to raid this mountain, and it is tall.
I want to go back in time and be your best friend.
It was one of my favorite toys, and I still own it. I'll go to the basement and take a picture of it for you.
I want to see that. I don't have any memory of such a thing, but it sounds like it would have been my favorite toy in the entire world.
Oh, you would have loved it because the mountain, it was big and it had substance. It was, I don't know, about a foot wide and had different floors and stuff where the soldiers could climb, like to invade the mountainside.
Oh wow.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. But you
I'm
did
getting a
have
little jealous right now.
you did have something that I didn't think anybody else had but me, except you had the army ones. What were those soldiers that you would click that would it came
Heroes
it
in
was
Action from Mattel.
yeah, Heroes in Action, and I only had two of them, and they were the SWAT, so they were the blue. You said you had the army.
I did. I actually got a playset one Christmas, and that's still probably the second best Christmas I've ever had in my life. I had picked it out of, I don't know if it was the Sears catalog or the JCPenney catalog, but I was like, "Dear Santa, please, please, please." And I got it. And it had a helicopter and a couple of figures and maybe a Jeep. I'm not sure,
Yeah,
but I was in War Comics
I
heaven.
had the helicopter, but for some reason I lost those. Like I kept almost everything, but I don't have those anymore. I don't know what happened to them.
They're hard to find, and most
Yeah.
people don't seem to remember them. I was so glad that you remembered them. I was
Yeah,
like, I'm
I
not
haven't seen
crazy.
anybody post them in a long time. Yeah, they existed and they were cool.
They were all that at the time. That was the most detailed action figure I had ever seen.
And
They,
you'd click them, right? And it'd make machine
right.
gun noise like
They would come with a base, like maybe a bombed out wall or something, and you could stick the figure down behind the wall, and there'd be a little lever under the base, and you could click it, and it would sound like a machine gun firing.
Yeah.
And for this little war comic nut, that was the greatest toy in the entire world.
Yeah. That was a good one.
They didn't have enemy soldiers that I know of, but I had a few of the SWAT figures, so I would pretend like
They
the
were the bad
military
guys.
figures, yeah, they were the bad guys. They were probably Italians, and
Yeah.
we were fighting Mussolini or something.
That's right. I only knew of the SWAT. I didn't know the green ones existed until you posted it.
I had a little bit of both of them, but I, of course, like the military figures better.
Yeah. That's where I was surprised when you posted a green one. I was like, I didn't know these things existed. I
It's the
only knew
greatest toy
about the
ever.
blue ones. But so comic wise, with your grandma, what was she reading to you? Do you remember? Do you remember the publisher or what it was or
Well, my mother has always been a thrift store addict, and thankfully, if you found something you liked, she encouraged your hobby. And so I would always pick a comic if I found one, but until I found those war comics, it was just, that's a cool looking book, basically. And I got those war comics from Goodwill. They probably had a stack of about 100, and my mother let me pick half the stack. And I was ADHD. I was a real pain in the butt. And she said I was as still as she'd ever seen me. I just froze in my spot and just flipped through every page. I couldn't even read yet, but I was flipping through every page, just mesmerized by Sam Glanzman and Joe Kubert and Russ Heath. And she went back the very next day hoping that they would have the rest of that stack, and they did, and she bought those, and it was mostly DC Bronze Age, late 60s, early 70s war comics. There were a few Charlton mixed in, one issue of Fightin' Five, and some Fightin' Marines and Fightin' Army, but it was mostly Sergeant Rock, Haunted Tank, The Losers, and man, that just, it just clicked for me.
Yeah. Well, that's what, I don't know what it was about war comics. I think it was because it was more grounded, and the fact that I had, early on, we had army sets and we play like war with right. friends and stuff like that. And then we would have like machine guns and stuff. So you could actually get like buy a helmet, play army.
Right.
Now you probably can't because you'll get shot. But,
yeah, you better do that in the comfort of your own home now.
Yeah. We used to have like this kid that lived a block from me used to have like these, a backyard with these huge mounds of dirt. And I don't know why they were just, it's like they were going to put in a pool and they decided not to. So there was like these huge mounds of dirt and we'd go over there and play war as well.
Oh, that would have been awesome.
Yeah, it was cool. But yeah, that's what I collected like really early on. But I didn't keep a lot of them, and it's because we traded them back in the day. That's how we circulated stories.
You traded your comics or the figures?
Comics. The figures wow. I always had.
I traded a few comics as a kid, and I ended up missing them, and I ended up buying them back from the guy.
Yeah.
For the most part, if I don't have more than one copy, I want to keep my copy forever.
Well, after I got out of the trading phase, I kept everything. It just was a way that I could afford to read more stories.
Right.
Because I only didn't have much money. So it was like if I could get 4 comics, that would turn into like 25 comics of trading.
Well, then that's good math right there.
Yeah. It would, because you'd get to read a lot more stories. So, what was your favorite of the bunch? I mean, there's quite a few DC related. You mentioned Charlton and.
Well, Sergeant Rock has always been my favorite, and he had the benefit of most of what I got in that stack was either illustrated by Russ Heath or Joe Kubert. So they were instantly my favorite artists. And Joe Kubert was the first one who I really recognized and began to look for more work by him.
Yeah.
And when I see those books now, I'll remember, you know, I can remember sitting on my grandma's lap. I've upgraded them many times through the years because I always want to find that perfect copy.
Yeah, that's right.
It's hard to find them on the war comics because most of us read them till the covers fell off.
Yeah, they're not priced cheaply either for some reason.
No. If you find a decent copy, you're usually going to pay for it.
Right, because you can't really find like a Sergeant Rock for under $10 usually.
Right.
And I don't know why that is. I mean, sometimes you'll luck out. Same thing with GI Combat. Star Spangled War stories and Our Fighting Forces.
Well, I think for years dealers would just see me coming and go, here comes that pale kid who loves the war comics. Double the price!
Yeah, Sergeant Rock was my favorite. And I think it's my favorite because it seems like he had the best well-defined team.
Right.
Like you distinctively knew who Bulldozer was, Wild Man, Ice Cream Soldier.
Right.
Short Round. Little
well,
Sure
they all
Shot.
They all seemed to defer to him even when there were crossovers. You know, the Haunted Tank crew, even though Jeb Stuart outranked him, would kind of defer to, "Hey Rock, what do you want to do?
Yeah.
What do you think we should do here?" You
know, right.
His combat Happy Joes of Easy always listened to him, and he kept most of them alive.
But I could never remember the cast, even to this day, of GI Combat, the Haunted Tank. except for the main guy that's haunted by the ghost of Lee.
Well, they had a few changes through the years, but most of the time it was Jeb Stuart as the commander,
Yeah.
and Rick was the gunner, I believe, and Slim was the driver for a long time. He's one of them that died and got replaced by an older man, I believe. He was a World War I veteran, if I remember the story right. And then there's one more guy, and I'm drawing a blank on his name. I know Arch was in there at one point, but Arch died,
Yeah.
and one of my favorite issues. That was by the late Archie Goodwin, who wrote that story, and that was the first comic that made me go, "What? People can die?"
Yeah. Well, that's what had the depth of the stories, as you people did die.
Yeah.
In Unknown
Well,
Soldier,
in
there was
comics that.
always death. He would always be the
Well.
one survived, and Unknown Soldier was one of those guys that he would have these one story arcs where his whole job was to go in as like a Nazi. He would dress
Right.
up. He'd have to go in disguise. They discover him. All shit breaks loose, and then he ends up safe.
Yeah, he had the toughest of the jobs, I think. He was usually behind the lines trying to fool somebody.
But a lot of people died. Like, I'm talking women too. Like, they'd
Oh,
put
yeah.
women in front of a firing squad and they would die.
Yeah, there were a lot of casualties in the war comics, and people talk about how it wasn't realistic, and a lot of it isn't. How many planes is Rock really going to be able to shoot out of the sky with his Tommy gun?
Yeah.
But how many comics at that point really were realistic? You had characters you would begin to care for and root for, and they may not be there next issue. So that's about as realistic as it was going to get in comics in the 60s and
Yeah.
70s.
And you have one hell of I was shocked when I saw that commission that you had of the War Will.
Oh,
Oh
that would be
my
my.
God. That had to cost a fortune.
Well, I will say that it looks that way, but if anybody ever wants to get a wonderful piece of art that you can actually afford, check out Dean Kotz, Kotz. He's on Twitter, and he is as good as it gets as far as ordering a commission. He
This
will.
wasn't a commission. This was like a poster. This
This was a com
this
co
this
the
was
War
de
Wheel
this was
piece
de
was.
was detailed though. Like it could have been a Black Hawk poster.
Oh, it could be a cover most of the time when you get a commission from Dean Kotz. I'm telling you, I've been doing this. The art is still relatively new to me, but the comics I've been doing most of my life. But in my experience with the art, Dean is probably my go-to. I get some crazy, stupid idea of some obscure character, and I like, man, I'd love to see what Dean would do with that.
Is this
I mean,
a
how many of us remember the War Wheel, And
Oh,
I'm like,
I love that comic. I just reread it.
well, that especially the later run with Spiegel and Evanier,
Oh, yeah.
I'm probably butchering their pronunciations of their names, but that was comics done right there.
Well, the War Wheel was almost indestructible. I mean, they were crashing
Yes.
planes into it.
Right. Well,
And,
Dean's amazing. Somebody needs to snap Dean up and put him on a monthly book.
I can't remember who thought of it. It wasn't Black Hawk. It was one of his crew that thought of how to take out the War Will. And I think that was around the time where they had that Nazi woman that kept him alive, kept Black. She could have killed Black Hawk like three, four times, and she did not kill him because she was in love with him, and he
Oh,
was
are
in.
you talking about? I want to say Domino was her
Yeah, her
name.
name was Domino. Yeah,
Yes.
she was.
Ah, the
She had
lovely
that white
Domino.
streak in her hair, and she was badass.
Yes,
Like,
she was.
she I can't. That one comic I read, she could have killed him like three times, and she didn't. And that was a weird relationship because they were on opposite teams, and she even convinced the Nazis to let her go kill him because how violent she was.
Right.
And yeah, that was good.
Yeah, I recommend that run to anybody. You know, some of the earlier Black Hawk stuff can get kind of silly, but that run in the 80s is just comics done right.
You're talking about when they came back, but you're probably talking about the time where they tried to make the Black Hawk superheroes.
Yes, that was a little
costumes
a little silly.
Were a little like purple, I think they were. Yes. They were a little strange.
I think there was some red and green, and some of them had like ridiculous costumes, like you know, I think Olaf became the Leaper and things like that.
Yeah, they turned him into that superheroes. but if you go to the Golden Age, the art, I don't know who did it. I don't remember the artist, but it's some of the best Golden Age art I have ever seen in my life. It is just immaculate, and the covers are just awesome. Because I've been buying a lot of Golden Age ones, and I'm just amazed by them.
Yeah, one of my favorite comic sources is Lucky Target Comics, and they're on Twitter. You can look for them. And they had in a run of Golden Age stuff. And, of course, it was like at the worst possible time for me financially. But if I'd had the money, I would have bought every single one of them. Because I think I had two out of the couple dozen she had.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, my gosh, I want them all.
Well, the covers alone are worth the money. I mean, they are just beautiful.
Well, they knew how to sell a comic back then. It wasn't just a pinup. It was something that would make that kid go, I've got to find out what happens to these people.
Yeah. Did you ever get a chance to watch the Black Hawk serial?
I have not watched it. I bought it for my dad many years ago.
Yeah.
And I watched it, you know, as I would pass through the room as he watched it.
Yeah.
But I've never just sat down and watched it.
It's pretty good. It's available on Amazon. And the one thing that I thought was really interesting that they did differently is their planes didn't have guns on them.
Interesting.
So, like, in this serial, they said, we're going to beat the Nazis by outflying them. And, like, stunt flying them.
Were they getting shot at, I assume?
They were getting shot at. So, yeah, it is very interesting if you get a chance to ever sit and watch those serials.
Next time I come across the DVD, I'm going to have to set that aside to watch it again then.
You should.
Because I've only seen it as I walked through the room, and I thought, well, his costume looked pretty good.
Yeah.
And that was about the only memory I have of it.
It is sort of campy because they're serial, but there's something about, like, in my college years when I was studying and I would turn on American Movie Classics on a Sunday and study in front of the TV. And before, like, a black and white movie started, they would show, like, old serials. And I was like, these are pretty awesome. So
yeah, that sounds awesome.
I've been trying to get into them lately because I was surprised to see some of them were available. Because I've always been – I went to the Baltimore Museum. I don't know if – have you ever been to the Baltimore Comic-Con?
I have not. It's on my to-do list.
Yeah, it's very similar to Heroes.
Okay.
It just has stuff. It has more outside stuff that's kind of fun, like the ocean's right there where you can go on speedboats. They have a German sub in the dock, so you can go inside the German. They have, like, old slave ships. They have warships that you can go on. Sometimes they actually have, like, Navy ships in the dock, and you can see the sailors on the dock. But they have really cool tours and stuff that you can do with the ships, which is a lot of fun. But they have a museum. He's selling it, but it's called Jeppy's Museum, the guy who owns Diamond.
Oh, yes. I've seen – I want to say he had ads for it in the Overstreet Price Guide.
Yeah, it was – You would have loved it because he has, like, the comics ordered by, like, decade, and they're like beautiful. It's like a peaceful heaven in there, and it's like you go from everything. He's even got an Atlas section. You know, we're talking about Atlas comics, and he has, like, that, and then you go over and you can see, like, toys and stuff like that. But he has this section of movie posters and, like, from old, you know, the serials. And that's
right.
Where I found out that they had put these out on DVD, I just had to have them. because I never knew they existed.
Yeah, I would have enjoyed that. That sounds right up my alley.
Yeah. But you get a lot of comics. Like, it seems like you have a lot. So, like, are there any other genres besides war comics that you get into?
Well, I like them all, but the war comics and the Western comics are what have always appealed to me the most. And both of those, I was more of a DC guy, but I would take any comic anybody handed me. I would be mad if a birthday or Christmas passed and nobody gave me a comic. And the thing is, people would say, "Well, I didn't get you one because I didn't know what you would have." And I was like, "Well, get me one I've already got and I'll trade it. You know, I can do something with it. Don't give me candy, give me a
Yeah.
comic book." But the Sergeant Rock's probably my all-time favorite character, and Jonah Hex would be up there. My mother had a thrift store score where she got me some early Bronze Age Marvel with Thor and Avengers and Spider-Man, and that's what really kind of opened the door to me liking the superhero stuff. And I'll buy almost anything with Jose Luis Garcia Lopez.
Oh
He's
yeah,
my
you're
he,
Atari Force too.
oh yes. And I was late to Star Wars. My parents had a policy of not letting you watch a PG movie, unless it was, of course, a war or Western movie where everybody gets. That's completely different because that's based on history. But
That's an interesting.
I didn't get to see Star Wars. They did a 5th anniversary re-release, and I saw it. excuse me, I saw it in '82, and
Oh
that just
wow.
lit my fire for sci-fi stuff. And that's when I got into Star Wars, and my grandmother got cable, and they were rerunning Battlestar Galactica, and I collected the Logan's Run series from Marvel, and just I just love comics.
Yeah.
I want them all.
I think there's somebody's appearance in Logan's Run. Is it Thanos? I think it's
Yes, he by
Thanos.
Mike Zeck
Yeah.
in number six.
Yeah,
Early Mike Zeck work.
I love Michael York. I mean, that is my shit. So like if you talk the Three Musketeers and the Four Musketeers and Logan's Run, I'm like, that's my heaven right there. It's my sweet spot.
Well,
Cause
now, have you read the comic?
I have Logan's Run. I have a full run of Logan's Run. I don't have a full run of Star Wars, but I have it in omnibus format. The Battlestar Galactica, I have a full run of that. I
That was
loved
the first
Battlestar
series I ever
Galactica.
ordered through the mail. I went crazy for it, and that was my first mail order at about 10 years of age. Mile High Comics had an ad in one of the comics and said, you know, get the whole set of Battlestar Galactica for however many dollars. And I saved up, gave it to my mother, and she wrote the check and mailed it off. And a couple of months later, yes, kids, back then it took months. And I got my set of Battlestar Galactica in the mail.
I love that. I love that show. There's something about that theme that makes it one of the most popular themes to me is like rum bum 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 ba 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 da dum bum bum ba da dum bum bum ba.
You're giving me chills, man.
Yeah,
I love it.
I just love it. I love it. Yeah, it was such a good show. And my parents took me to Universal Studios when I was fairly young, and
Oh, you lucky sucker.
they had a live action where they used to have these like tour buses. Not only did the tour bus go in the Bionic Man circle, do you remember the one with Sasquatch, Bigfoot? And then they had like this episode where it was like this ice circle that would rotate. You
I
actually
remember Sasquatch. I don't remember the ice circle.
Yeah, they ha you would go through that. It was awesome. And then you would enter a Battlestar Galactica Cylon ship, and you'd have like Starbuck and Apollo come in with their laser guns and shoot up the Cylons. It was awesome.
Yeah, my parents weren't big on real vacations. They were different. My sister and I would spend our summers going to places like little small towns in South Georgia where my dad wanted to go look at a car at a car lot or visit a hardware store to see what they might have. We'd go back to school and the kids would be like, I went to Disney. I went to Pelham.
But at least you got your war comics.
I got my war comics.
That's right. So are you kind of a kid of the Bronze Age? Is that like what you grew up in?
Well, I'm a mixture of 70s and 80s. I was born in 72.
Yeah.
So I remember some of the 70s. And then the 80s were when I was actually old enough to do something about stuff.
Yeah. So you're a little younger than me, but we're roughly in the same time zone.
Right.
Yeah.
You're 50, right?
I'm almost 50. Right?
Almost 50.
Yeah, I got another year, and I'll be 50. But
happy almost birthday.
Yeah, and then I got to get my shingles shot.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
The joys of old age.
Yep, and then I got to get colonoscopy and all that other stuff.
You're making my butt hurt. Let's not talk about such things.
Mm-hmm. So you just sent me some comics. And Fighting Five was one of them, which has the first appearance of, I said accidentally the question, but that's in Blue Beetle. It has the first appearance of Peacemaker.
Well, see, I had forgotten about that. You had reminded me of that because the main thing to me was Fighting Five.
Yeah.
And then you went down the rabbit hole after Peacemaker and mentioned you were looking for that book, and I was like, well, I've got that. I didn't remember that was the Peacemaker.
Well, you not only had one, but you had two, and then you probably have your own copy, so that's three copies of that one issue.
Well, it's a good issue to have.
Yeah, it's issue 40. Well, the issue of Peacemaker 1, and I was going to ask you about this because I don't know much about the Fighting Five. Actually, the first Fighting Five comic I read was in Peacemaker. In Peacemaker, they were the backup. So it, like, switched. So Peacemaker was the main story, and it have, like, two stories, and then the third story was the Fighting Five. And what I wanted to ask is, well, the Fighting Five always has five, right? Five guys.
Right.
Are they always the same?
They've been the same in every one I've read.
Okay, because in the first issue of Peacemaker, they lose a member.
Okay.
Yeah, and I was like, well, what happens next? Are they the Fighting Four, or do they get another guy? So I didn't know if it was like a theme where they would lose.
Now I'm
going
to have to go down the rabbit hole and chase after Peacemakers. You've inspired me.
I was just curious if it was like Suicide Squad, where they would lose members.
I could be telling you wrong, because it's been a while since I read them, but it seems like everybody stayed the same through the short run of the actual Fighting Five.
Actually,
and
it's
that's
a pretty
all I've
long
read
run,
is the Fighting
isn't it?
Five. Well, it was what, 12 issues approximately, something like that.
Well, it got to issue 40, I thought. But did it get continued from another book?
Yeah, it took over from something else. Charlton was not going to waste their numbers.
Well, they started with 28 and they got to 49.
Okay. But all the ones at the end are reprints of the earlier ones. Charlton was the king of reprints.
Well, that's interesting. Let's talk about rabbit holes. It came from a series called Space War.
Space War. I never got into Space War, despite the title.
Yeah, that's interesting.
There's some good Ditko art in some of them, but
yeah, there
it
is.
It just wasn't my thing. I'd take them if somebody offered them to me, though. Send your comics to me, kids.
There's some really nice covers, though. Like issue 32. I don't know who did the art, though. Yeah, these are interesting. Like, if I run across Charlton, I'll get them. Like, no matter what it is. I'm not really in a specific genre. Like, you are. Like, your focus is military comics.
Right.
My focus is anything. Like, I am the biggest, like, squirrel guy that you've ever seen.
You get distracted and chase after
it. Well, I'll get excited. Like, I'll read a comic book, right? And if I see an ad, I'll like stop what I'm doing and see if I want to read something or something that excites me. Or if there's a character in that book, I'll go Google it and I'm like, what could I read with this character in it?
Right.
And then I go down that rabbit hole and that book comes in, or I have it, and then it leads me down another rabbit hole and I just lose my focus. I like just can't stay focused.
Well, I admire that about you because you're one of the only people I follow on Twitter who's like, your tastes are all over the place. I want this comic. I want that comic. You know, I
That's
want all the
everything.
comics.
Yeah, I want
And
everything.
I can relate to that.
I don't. There's comics that I love, and there's comics that, I don't like. But even when the ones I don't like, I want. Like that. There's some redeeming quality in it that I like.
There's something magical
Yeah,
about a comic book.
there is. And not many people get it these days, but I think we're from a generation where TV had five channels or four. Maybe you didn't even have a TV. Maybe it was just in the family room, and you didn't have your own TV. Like everybody's got a TV now everywhere.
Yeah, you watched what dad wanted to watch, and you hoped
Exactly.
that it was something good, and you prayed that the president didn't come on and ruin
And
everything.
ruin the show, yeah. Because they wouldn't replay it. Everything
Right, you just
was
missed
real.
it.
There was no VCR. You had on Saturday morning cartoons. You had to wake up. You'd have to send your clock on, and you'd have to say, "I have to get up to see this. I have to see Johnny Quest at 6 a.m. It's got to be on."
Right.
And you would show up and watch cartoons from 6 a.m. to 12.
It was good times.
Yeah.
I don't understand why some of these retro channels like MeTV and Antenna and Heroes and Icons, why they're not doing cartoons on Saturday mornings. I feel like they're really missing out.
I think if they were able to replicate it, they would attract an audience that those stations are catered to. Because I think people like our age are watching that. It's not the younger generation. Like
Right.
I We watched like 4 hours of MeTV just the other day. I didn't want to read comics because I had broken out in hives. I had to go get a shot in my ass. It was so bad.
You
And
told me that, and
yeah.
I felt bad for you. I'm allergic to everything, so you talking about breaking out in hives and needing a shot, I could relate to.
Well, I couldn't fit. I we me and my wife thought, did I eat something different? Did I do something different? We can't figure out anything. But I still haven't really gotten over it, except that shot helped a lot. Like it reduced things in half. And now I somewhat have a control under with Benadryl and prednisone, but something has attacked my or has my white blood cells fighting something, and they're busy doing that instead of fighting the allergy, whatever's happening.
Oh no.
Yeah. But anyway, I didn't want to read because I couldn't focus very well. So I
Right.
just sat there and I watched Different Strokes, The Brady Bunch. I mean, I was just watching all kinds of old shows. They have Hogan's Heroes. I don't think we have Heroes and Icons on DirecTV, but it might be over the air.
I'm not getting any of these great retro channels on my DirecTV. I went and bought a digital antenna.
Yeah.
And I can pick up MeTV pretty good, and Heroes and Icons is kind of like when I was a kid, and you just hope the weather and the wind were working with you where
Oh,
you could pick it
it
up.
was like the UHF channel where you had to put an aluminum foil on the antenna
Right.
and try to bend it a certain way and hope
Because
that it
Heroes and
came in.
Icons was showing, I don't know if you remember the show Wise Guy, where the cop goes undercover in the mob. It was showing
Yeah,
that,
I
and I
remember.
love that show.
Yeah, Heroes and Icons looks like really good. Plus, they're showing the old Swamp Thing and
Yeah, I want to watch. I don't remember much about that. I think maybe USA picked it up at one point.
Yeah, that's who premiered it. USA. USA
Okay.
had Swamp Thing. They actually had a Man Thing movie too on Sci-Fi that I watched. And I've always loved Steve Gerber. Like that's my I think Steve Gerber to me is like some of the creators that you love, like Russ Heat, like Steve Gerber. I just everything he wrote, I just like absorb it. Like I just love it.
He was going to entertain you. It may be a crazy idea, But you were going to be entertained. You were going to get your money's worth out of that comic book.
Yeah, you bet. He had a way of telling stories, and they're detailed. They're detailed, they're political, they have a message in every one of them. There's some kind of message in there. And I just like to read Steve Gerber, especially as Defenders. That's my stuff.
Yeah, the Defenders is good stuff. I'm working on completing my run of that.
Let's talk a little bit about Russ Heath because he just passed, right?
Yes, he did. And that one hurt. Most of these celebrity deaths, I don't know the person. I'm sorry they're gone. I'll say a prayer for their family, but it doesn't have a great deal of effect on me. But Russ Heath hurt. Because I've been, a fan of his since before I could read.
Yeah.
And I had the pleasure of meeting him a couple of times, and he was as entertaining a man as you could have ever hoped to talk to. And
Did you meet him fairly recently, or was it a long time ago?
the last time I went to Dragon Con was 2002 because he was there, and that was the first time I ever met him. And he was also at Heroes Con a few years ago. I forget how many years exactly, maybe 2009, somewhere in that range.
Well, I didn't
But
see him, and I would have been there.
he was so much fun to talk to, and just an amazing artist. And that man could draw anything and make it look real.
I wish I would have seen you at Heroes. I would have loved to have talked to you.
Well, I wish I'd had
But now I
my
at
act
least know
together
what
better.
now I know what you look like, so I hunt you down next time.
Well, we'll plan a meal together next year.
Yeah,
We can
that'd be
get it
great.
done right next year.
That's right. That's right. 'Cause that's the one con I've always gone to.
Well,
Podcasting is what got me to go to that con, and I've never left. I've gone there every year.
as a comic fan, it's hard to beat that show because it is
Yeah.
focused on comics and artwork, not about the extra who played a zombie in Walking Dead or whatever. That's all great, but I'm going to spend my time and money on comics, and that's why I love that show.
Yeah, and that's probably the best comic show that you could go to. My first con was San Diego. So
That's a heck of a debut.
I went debut. I went all out.
Yes, you did.
And I went 2 years to that. And then I went to Heroes Con. San Diego kind of stresses you out though, because it's like population overload. And it's
Yeah,
like, can I see this or can't, like, you have like an agenda of what to go to, but half of them you can't get into unless you plan it like hours ahead of time.
that would just drive me crazy.
Yeah.
I don't think I would do well at it. I think if somebody, like one of these giants I'm friends with, like Old Ben One or Yard Sale Artist, if they took me on their shoulders and carried me around like a little baby and got me to where I needed to be, then I might have fun. But for little fat Spencer to try to navigate through the crowds, I don't know.
I
I
still
think you
think
might
you
find me in a ball
I
crying
still
somewhere.
think you'd feel good and you'd like it just because it's an experience. Like it's
I'd find something to do. I may just never leave the dealer's room.
Yeah, that's pretty packed, but if you stay in Artist Alley, it's not too bad 'cause they're very media centric. So, and that's probably where you'd want to be anyway as Artist Alley.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you'd like Baltimore because Baltimore's almost all comics. They usually have like 10 celebrities, and instead of having a big, they still have an art jam, auction, but it's kind
Right.
of more informal. It's like before you enter the con, they have like daily auctions on art. And then they have one big cosplay show. Like it's, and that's when you said you went to Dragon Con, I thought that's what that focus was, is cosplay.
The last time I went in 2002, they had just incredible guests, incredible to me anyway. They had Dave Stevens, they had Russ Heath, they had Carmine Infantino, and there was nobody paying them any attention. if I had been organized, I probably could have gotten hundreds of comics signed, but I was running out to the car, grabbing a few more, and then I'd run back to try to get some more autographs, because ideally, I would love to get 99% of my comics signed. I know it's not possible. A lot of these people have passed on, and it's getting harder and harder because people want to charge now.
Yeah. But everybody you mentioned there is passed.
I know, and it was just an incredible show, but there was almost
Dave Stevens really young when he passed.
I miss that man. That man, he was in the vein of Russ Heath, where he could make it look good no matter what it was. And I think there were five comic dealers at the whole show. It was focused on science fiction and cosplay and lots of gaming stuff. And I don't talk bad about anybody's hobby. I can find something I'd like about every one of those. But if I'm going to go to the time and expense to go to a show, I'm there for comics.
Yeah.
And that, well, I hear Dragon Con's not my thing.
I hear Dragon Con is really different, because from what I hear, it plays across like five hotels, and each one has its own theme. Like, one might be gaming, one might be Star Wars, one might be comics, one might be something else.
There were all kinds of places you could have gone, and it had grown a lot. I started going in the early 90s, and 2002 was my last one. It was big when I started going, and it just got bigger and bigger every year. But yeah. I don't have a lot of money, and I don't get a lot of time away from home. So if I'm going to go to that trouble and that expense, it's going to be Heroes Con or something of that nature, where it's focused on comics.
Well, how far do you drive to Heroes?
I do.
Do you stay there for the full 3 days?
I do most of the time. There's been a few where I had to leave earlier, I came in late, but most of the time it's a 3 day show for me.
Yeah. I did want to ask you about those couple of comics that you sent me that I had no idea what they were. Are they comics that you got as a Kickstarter, or
yes,
what
they
are
were,
they?
Those, all of those were Kickstarter rewards.
Yeah, okay. I figured they were Kickstarters because I had no idea what they were. One of them looks really interesting to me, the Miss Vicky and the Cutie Commandos.
The creator of that described it as Sergeant Fury in a skirt. And so you mentioned Sergeant Fury, and you've already piqued my interest. So
yeah,
I was in.
Well, let's talk about Kickstarters a little bit.
Okay.
Because you support a lot. What are your feelings about them? Like, do you feel like you're rewarded 90% of the time and 10% you have bad experiences, or what's your ratio of success?
I think at one point it dipped as low as probably 50-50 on getting my stuff and getting screwed. But I think lately I've focused more on creators that have delivered before, and I think I'm probably closer to about 90% fulfillment.
Well, that's pretty good. I think I'm still in the 60-40. And like, there was a great one that we supported recently. I know both of us did. It was that Combat by Sam. And I didn't even know about Sam. And what's his name? Guzman?
Glansman.
Glansman. I didn't know about him until Joe Kubert came out with the anthology that DC did in like 2008 or something like that. Kubert Presents.
Yes.
And he would have those features in the back of Sam's comic. And I just became infatuated with this because they were based on real life stories. And I was blown away. So I had to pick up some of his stuff. And I definitely jumped on that Combat thing. I think I got like three comics that he did. But I'm hesitant to support the latest one because I haven't gotten anything from that guy yet. So like,
well, he's definitely had a spotty history, but he says he's got things back on track.
Yeah.
And he delivered on, I had backed almost I've backed everything he's done with Glansman art, and I've gotten two of them now, I think. And
you haven't gotten the combat one yet, though, right?
I have not gotten the combat one yet. I think the latest update is that that's now on track for February.
Yeah. And then I think he's doing Aztec Ace, too, which is an old Eclipse property. And I signed up for that one. So I was hesitant to do the third one because I haven't gotten anything from him yet.
Right.
So I'm just
I can
a
understand
little,
that.
I'm just a little wary.
I understand. I understand completely. It's a gamble.
But he's like catering to my wheelhouse, man.
I know.
Like everything that he's doing, it's like I want that. I want that. I want this. Like he's like this is for you, Mike. Jump on it.
It's comic book crack, and you keep going back, and you're like, I know it's probably gonna be bad for me, but gosh dang it, I want it.
Yeah. And I kind of was actually bummed out about getting this Pat Broderick thing way before you got it. Because I had no idea it was a Kickstarter.
Well, that's one of them that falls into the 50% screwed me.
What was the Kickstarter? Was it just for issue one? Or was it for issue one, two, and three?
I think it was issue one, and I think maybe my pledge was for the issue number one and a poster or a print of some sort, you know. I've never gotten anything. He originally sent out an update like, email me your addresses so I can ship it out. You know, usually they send you a survey.
Yeah.
So I emailed it, I messaged him, and I've still never gotten anything. Never gotten a response. Never gotten a comic. So that one hurt.
That really sucks because I have the first two.
Well, I was really excited about that one because I like his work, and it sounded like an interesting comic book.
It is interesting. It is landscape. It's not like standard format. Like, you have to read it sideways.
Well, why don't you just rub a little more salt in my wound, and I'll just go cry in the corner.
I felt bad, though, because I've had that happen to me.
And no, don't feel bad. Don't.
Well, it made...
You got a comic. Just celebrate you getting a comic.
Yeah, but it made me mad on other Kickstarters where I had to like pester the person and I knew other people were getting it. Do you know what I mean? At conventions
right.
and stuff. And I'm like, well, I Kickstarted your stuff and now you're selling it before I even got it.
That is
my pet peeve. It's like putting salt in the wound.
It is. It makes you mad. I get it occasionally, like, There's been a few where they say my target is to premiere this book at this convention, and I get it if you're running behind and that was really the target anyway. I get that, but if you're saying, well, I got to get some more boxes and some more packing supplies and I hope to ship some stuff soon, but I'm going to these six conventions this summer and maybe at the end of that I'll ship you your stuff. No, that's not okay.
Yeah.
That's not cool at all.
And in some cases, like this one, you hadn't even gotten anything. So that sucks.
Yeah.
But I guess it's hit or miss. Like, you have your good experiences and your bad experiences, and you just hope your good ones outweigh the bad ones.
It is, and I've found some wonderful things that I may not have ever known about if not for Kickstarter. I recently backed the Alex Automatic number 3 from Fraser Campbell and James Corcoran. I may be butchering the way they pronounce those, but that is a just crazy comic book. I was drawn to it visually because it reminded me of Maskatron from the $6 Million Man. I don't know if you remember Maskatron.
Sure. You talk a $6 Million Man, I'm there. I have a doll in my basement right now.
All right. I saw that the cover image for the first one and his face is popping off, and I was like, that's Maskatron, you know, and I was in. And it helped that they delivered, and I was entertained, and I keep coming back for more.
Well, some of those Kickstarters, they got it down. Like, I always buy Palmiotti and Gray. And
right.
I've always loved their stuff. I mean, Jonah Hex was the book that, where I knew this team was something I wanted to get. Like, I've liked all their books, but anytime they put out something, like, I think he put out a Western called Batsy the Kid or something like that.
Yes, I backed that one.
I backed that because, well, let me tell you about those two. You'll always get it before it's ever published anywhere. You'll always get it on time. They're very reliable. And that's why I always, when I see they're backing something, I get an email, I'm going for it.
I agree with you 100%. They
Yeah.
always deliver. They keep you updated. You don't have to go, "Hey, I wonder what's going on with that." They let you know this is where we're at. This is how much longer it's going to be for this. And
Yeah.
it's just wonderful to get that information. And I don't know why it's so hard for people who, almost everybody has a phone in their pocket. Type a little update going, "Hey, I
Yeah.
just heard from the artist. He's on page 17 of 24.
Right.
Won't be long now,
Right. Well, I supported one that I got two successful ones and then waited 2 years for the next. So being a successful one doesn't always mean you're gonna stay successful.
Right.
Because I'm into like jungle books. Like you throw a Tarzan or a Sheena, and I was getting this book called Primal, The Warrior Queen or something like that. And it was kind of like a Sheena.
I
And
know exactly what you're talking about. They had a Tim Vigil variant on one of the issues.
yep. And I got issue one, I got issue two, and now I'm waiting for like 2 years for issue three and four.
I'm right
So
there with you, buddy.
and at least they didn't they wouldn't respond on the Kickstarter, but they have a Facebook page. So I asked him, and he said the issue three should ship soon. So if you're on there, maybe you'll get yours when I get mine.
You let me know when you get yours, because I won't I've been waiting a long time for that.
Yeah. So the other thing I wanted you on the show for is you have the most excitement I've ever seen on Twitter.
Well, I hope that's a good thing.
Yeah, it is a good thing. You're always pushing stuff. You're always like forwarding stuff. So I think like from Kickstarters, I find out from you because you're saying I'm excited about this one or I back this one. And you're also like forwarding art and stuff like that. You always tell me, "Oh, look at this Atari Force piece."
Well, there's not many of us fans of Atari Force left that really know who it is. And I know I can share that with you, and you'll be like, "Well, that's cool." Whereas
Yeah.
somebody else I share it with, and they'll go, "What the heck is that?"
Yeah, Atari Force is a amazing piece of work. Matter of fact, if you ever get to read Eden, it's not quite that, but it has the artistic and the sort of feel, the sci-fi feel of Atari Force.
Now, is this
Because,
the Alterna book you were reading the other night?
yeah, Eden,
Okay.
yeah. I was pretty impressed, especially with the art. I think
How
it's a
long ago did that come out? Do you remember?
3 months.
Okay.
It ha ha
I know a general area to look for my copy then, because I pre-ordered it, but it got buried in Two Reed Mountain, and so now I know to search for the recent quadrant.
You probably have a mountain size about what I have a mountain size of. You have a lot of long boxes. I saw your closet where you were looking for duplicates. Is that where you pretty much store your boxes of comics?
I have comics everywhere.
Yeah, I do too.
Much to my wife's disappointment, they are everywhere. And I'm trying to get organized. I'm trying to sort out duplicates and consolidate, because
Well,
some of these things I've bought multiple copies, upgrading through the years, or I'll be going through a dollar box and go, "I can't remember if I have this issue or that issue. I'll just get them both, and then I know I've got it."
you crack me up because there was one scene where you were doing a merge, I think, and you had like pulled out all your long boxes in the kitchen floor or something. I mean, it was in the living room or something. And
Right.
you had to get them out of there after a certain time. Like you had 24 hours to do this merge, and then they had
Yeah,
to be out of there.
my wife is very patient to a point, and then she's like, "All right, that's enough." And I know she means business, and I need to get it out of the way.
So you have long boxes. You're still in the long box mode, right?
For the most part, although I am doing more magazine size boxes, because then that almost anything will fit in that, and it's a whole lot easier to shift around and move. My sister bought me some of the drawer boxes, and I
Yeah.
love them. That will be the long-term goal, but Right now, there's just so much stuff everywhere that I'm trying to
You
get organized.
you'll like the drawer boxes just because if it's a true drawer box, they have anchors. So when you like pull it out, it's not gonna move. And that means you can leave the box almost dangling. So there's only like 10% of the box just hanging, and
Right.
it'll the weight of all of them stacked on top of each other will it you'll be able to like just stack up and then put your books in.
I like that idea.
Yeah, it's a great
'Cause that
idea.
would help me, like when I'm going to go file something else, and then I won't have to move everything, and I can put it in the right slot right there.
Yeah, they're great. And the short boxes are what I would go for because of as we get older, those things get heavy. And I don't know if you
Yes,
bag
they
and
do.
board your stuff, but
I
if you
try
do,
to. I'm out of bags right now, so
if you
if
do
anybody
it,
listens
that's
to
even
this
more
and wants to
heavy.
send a donation of 10,000 Silver Age bags or whatever, please send it to Fort Spencer, Putney, USA.
They'll get to you. You could donate bags.
That's
There
right.
you go.
I am not too proud to accept donations.
Do you do boards too, or just bags?
I do boards.
Okay. Yeah, I do the expensive route, but
I admire that.
well, it's because I can. But if I couldn't, I would go back to the polypropylene. But you know what? You can take the. I don't know if you saw those pictures of the ones I took of your books, but they were already in Mylar, and they just make the book look so much better.
They
Like,
do. It's a beautiful thing.
they can make a very good look like a very fine, you know, from a distance, because
I
it's
agree.
beautiful. And ever
I
since
used to
I
do a
did that,
lot.
it's like I have to do it, and I order them by the thousands, but
Where do you get yours from?
eGerber.
Okay.
Yeah, it's an old-fashioned shop too because you can't get them, like you can't go and say, I want 1,000, send them to me. You have to call a number during business hours, which is in like Baltimore, East Coast time, from like 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. And usually get the same lady, and she says, "Hi, Mike." Like she knows me by name, and is like, "I want these," and I get the certain size that works good for like Silver Age to current. I buy the Golden Age like once every blue moon,
Right.
because I don't get as many Golden Age, but
No,
I
I
like
don't get
to,
many Golden Age either.
yeah.
Not anymore.
If I see an
I used to be
opportunity.
willing to buy anything, but now I've got two kids and I find that they eat up most of my comic budget, so I usually have to go with a bargain somewhere.
So you have stackable boxes, and you'd kind of just do you know where things are? Like, do you have a database or?
I do not have a database. I want to have one. I've done a little research. I've asked around, and I've gotten a different answer from almost everybody. So I'm a little scared about which one to get,
Well, if
but
you want to talk to
I've
the
got to do
big
something.
collectors and you can afford it, Comic Base is the way to go. I don't care what anybody tells you, it's the best.
Okay, is that what you use?
That's what I use, and the guy who has the world record for comic books. So if you have a large collection, this is the way it goes. The thing that sucks is you put in like $100 per year because you're subscribed. So every week I like go internet, I click on internet and I say download this week's comics, and it goes boom boom boom, downloads everything, UPC codes and everything. And then it's got like a bar scanner where I can scan all the current books, and that's how I inventory them.
So you actually scan the UPC on yours and
Yeah.
say, this is it. What
And
about the older ones? How
the
do you
older
get
ones
those
I
added?
hand put them in. But like, let's say if I get a bunch of them at once, I can select like issues 1 through 10, and just say change quantity to 1. And you can like mass change the condition. So like, if I got a bunch of 20 copies of Ghost Rider and they were all VG, I could just select them all and say change condition to VG.
What about things like these crazy variant covers where like I
Oh,
think one of the.
it has all the variants.
Okay.
The only thing it doesn't have that you have to enter in manually are your Kickstarters.
Okay.
Yeah, and then what I usually do is you get points. Like, I'll submit all my Kickstarters, and then they show up for everybody else later on.
Nice.
Yeah.
I'm liking what I'm hearing.
And it's got trades too. So if you have collected editions, they're all in there.
Well, I've got a little bit of everything. I just have to get it organized.
Yeah. It
But
even has.
if it's a comic, I want it.
Yeah, it even has things like magazines. So if you were into the black and white magazines that Marvel put out, or Doc Savage, or any of
Oh,
that,
yeah.
they're all in there.
Yeah, I love that stuff. I
Yeah.
can't afford most of it, but I love it. I love it.
Yeah, the magazines are something I just recently got into.
Oh, they, some of those
I don't have
covers are
too
just.
many of them. The only magazine that I get regularly is Back Issue.
I like that magazine. That's a good one. My favorite was always Comic Book Marketplace. Are you familiar with that one?
I'm familiar with the name, but I never got it.
It was my favorite, and I miss it every month. But especially the early issues, they would focus on a certain period or a certain character. And they did an issue on Enemy Ace. That was one of the first ones
Well,
I got when
I
it.
think you turned me on to one of them from Atlas. I think I
Right,
ordered it.
they did an Atlas issue.
Yes, that's 'cause I asked you that question. What I really want to do is I really want to find out stuff about Atlas and Charlton. There is stuff about Charlton 'cause Charlton's story is fascinating because the guys met in prison before they
Well, that I guess you could certainly say they became productive members of society.
They did, and they bought their own printing press, and they started making comics, and they were pretty successful, at least in my eyes, 'cause they ran for quite a while. They had a lot
Well,
of
for a long
titles.
time they were the third largest publisher, probably,
Yeah.
so.
And then even like in my time period, they came out with reprints that were called Modern Comics. And those ones
I've
I was
seen
able to
some of
get at
those.
Kmart, your favorite place.
I am a Kmart man living in an Amazon world.
That's right. That
I
was
like
the
it
only
simple.
publisher I've ever saw printed at Kmart, besides the three bags, the mystery
I would
packs.
like to know why they changed the name. Why would they not stick with their brand name Charlton? Because
Because
it's the exact same book.
I think they were already gone. I think Modern Comics acquired their rights to reprint it. I think the
Maybe.
main owners were. Maybe they went back to prison. I don't know. I have to find out.
There could be more to this story.
Yeah, I've read in Back Issue Magazine a little about Charlton, but I want to like dig into all these companies that have passed because they're fascinating, these
They
dead
are.
publishers. I like want to own them all.
I do too.
There's some great stuff.
I think we share that passion where we just want them all. There's some that I know that I don't have enough time left on this earth to read them all, but that doesn't stop me from wanting them.
Yeah, that's what makes me sad. I don't want to die. I want to live forever, and I want to be with my comics and my family. And I just want it to go on. 'Cause I
I
don't have anybody to hand to the collection, really. Like Barb is gonna have to figure this shit out if I pass before her.
I've tried to put some guidelines in place for my wife for in case I fall over dead because I think once she gets past the grieving process, she'll just be calling Heritage going, "I will pay you to come get this crap
Come,
out of my house."
yes. And that's what I'm trying
I've been wanting a yoga room, you know.
to. And that's what I was telling Barb. I said, like, you have to know that this Bronze Age gold Ghost Rider stuff is worth money. I'm trying to show her what. Because there's a lot of comics that are not worth nothing.
Right.
I mean, you're going to have a hard time offloading them. And you can get rid of those in bulk, but there's a lot of stuff that has value. and you can get rid of. And there is a demand. Like Fighting Five, there's going to be somebody that's going to want those.
Well, I know our good buddy Joe Crawford wants them. Make a notation in your will. I think he's younger than us. And
Yeah. He's another passionate guy I need to get on this show. So there's a group of people that I don't even care what they collect. I don't even care if they collect. They're just passionate. If they're passionate about the hobby, that's who I want to talk to.
well, I admire passion in somebody because, you know, even if it's cosplay or gaming or whatever, if you're passionate about it, I can respect that. I don't understand this. I don't really have a hobby. I don't really care about anything. I can't relate to that.
Yeah, it's great to have because even if you don't have, you're not fortunate to get as much. It's just like the goal or the passion of it to have it,
Right.
so you can get what you can get. But you're building your collection. It's amazing.
Well, we live in a wonderful time where even things like the early Spider-Mans that cost thousands of dollars, you can go down to Books a Million and get a hardcover reprinting them all. And so you don't have to have, you know, a huge bank account to read these wonderful, timeless stories. You
Yeah.
can read anything today.
Why would I? There's that one called Ollie's or something like that, or something.
Right. Ollie's Bargain Outlet, I believe, is their full
But
name.
we don't have Books a Million or Ollie's. Like, I think Denver has a Books a Million, but nowhere here where I live has that. And I wanted my wife to. We had one day before Heroes Con, and we drove past an Ollie's. And I was trying to get my friend to take me there. Barb's like, "No, we don't need to stop there. We're going to the convention." But I'm like, "There's Ollie's. I haven't seen what they have."
That sounds very familiar because usually when we're driving to Heroes Con, I beg my wife to let me stop at a Second and Charles because that's my favorite store to visit, and I
Yeah.
don't have one near me. And she's like, "You're driving to a comic convention and you want to stop at a store to look at their comics." I'm like, "Yes, exactly."
Exactly. Well, there's some great deals at places. Like I had Aaron Myers on. He's a big comic guy. And he finds the best deals. Like that's what I know him for.
He finds amazing stuff. I am just in awe of the things he finds, and I'm
Got
like,
this for a dollar. Got this for
you know,
$3.
I haven't seen a copy of this in years, and he got it at a flea market for a dollar.
Yeah, I'm just like, I tell you, if I live near Portland where he is, he would have some competition there. I'm telling you right now.
Oh, I would be there every day. I'd be like, "What time are you going there tomorrow, Aaron? Because I'm going to be there 30 minutes before you."
Yeah, that's what I
No
would be
offense,
doing.
it's nothing personal, but I've got to get some of
I
those
gotta
deals for
get some of
myself.
those deals, yeah. He'd have a lot more competition, I'll tell you that. But he gets the best deals, so he's always there posting about, what he gets. And he has a different philosophy. Like, I don't want to sell anything unless I got a dupe.
Right.
I don't know if you feel the same way.
That is exactly my philosophy.
Like, it's even hard for me to part with something that I know if I sell it now, it's the opportune time
Right.
because there's a movie or something, but I don't want to part with it.
I have a hard time letting go of most of them, but especially it's easier, like the Fightin' Five for you, it's easier when I know it's going to somebody who's passionate about reading it. And not just buying it because I think this is probably going to go up because there's another movie coming out.
Right.
And that makes it easier for me to let go.
Yeah, 'cause I love them, by the way. Like I'll cherish those comics. They'll be with me until I die or I get close to death.
Well, I knew they would be in good hands.
Well, they're in a nice Mylar bag right now with a half
Yes,
pack, so.
they've moved up in the world, going from my house to yours, but they've moved from used old bags that they've been in for a couple of years to fresh new Mylars looking minty fresh.
Yeah. Well, you had some Curse of Spawns too. I was kind of shocked to see that.
I've got a little bit of everything. I just got to get organized, and I'll make you some more deals.
Yeah. 'Cause I do want to finish my McFarlane stuff, and I'm getting close.
He's amazing. I've never met him.
I have never met him either. I have seen him from a distance, but I never get in line.
I imagine that line is insane.
Well, him or Liefeld, man, they draw a crowd. Like I'm talking about, you got to be willing to spend at least 45 minutes in line. If you're
That's
willing
hard
to
for me.
do that, that's 45 minutes is a long time.
Well, especially at a comic show, because I'm looking around and I'm seeing everybody walk by and seeing what they've bought, and I'm looking over at somebody else that I want to get autographs from. And so it just eats at me as I stand there waiting. So, because I want to get them all signed. I want to visit every booth and see what they have.
Yeah,
So
so when you go to Heroes Con, do you take a short box with you, or do you take like 10 books that you know you want signed, or how do you do that?
oh, I take a short box on a little cart and I try to get all of those signed, and then I go back to the hotel room and get some more and come back and start over, because my goal at the show is to try to get as many autographs as I can.
How about commissions? Let's talk about that for a bit. Are you do
I
you
like
have
them.
to do you have to leave, or do I what's your time limit?
Oh no, I'm good.
Okay. So commissions, do you do pre-commissions or do you buy the commission at the show?
I usually do a few pre-commissions. I had to cut way back this year because we've been dealing with some home repairs, but I think I got two this year.
What'd you get? I can't remember.
Well, now I'm blanking.
Well, I know you got a Sergeant Rock and
I got
Mademoiselle
a
Marie very recently, right?
that was from that was a mail order
That
commission.
was a mail order.
One of my pre-commissions I remember was Tony Sedani, and I'm hoping I'm saying his name right. Disclaimer, kids, I don't know how to pronounce anybody's name. Tony Sedani did a Deathstroke, the Terminator, and Lady Vigilante, who made her first appearance in like number 10 of his title from the 90s.
Oh, I
And
like
he,
Lady Vigilante. She's awesome.
yeah, Tony did a great job. Tony is great to deal with too. If anybody cares what Little Fat Spencer thinks, get you some art from Tony.
Can you share that with me, the Lady Vigilante?
Yeah,
Yeah.
I'll have to figure out where I've put it, and I'll
We
send you a
were
picture of it.
talking about Vigilante fairly recently. On Retrocast, and I have a full run of it, and I was just cycling through. That's another thing Comic Base has that's wonderful, is you can mouse over the cover and it just blows up to the whole screen. So like,
Cool.
it takes like a small image that you see on the left side next to the issue, and you just like mouse over it and it goes dee 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 dee, and it's full screen. And all the covers are downloadable too. So when you go to get your books every week, it has the covers, the associated covers. And I was amazed by the covers for Vigilante. Like they are freaking amazing. Like, they're really good. Was
Hi.
Lady Vigilante like in Teen Titans first, or where was she showing in her in
She
Vigilante?
first appeared in the Deathstroke the Terminator title from the 90s. She
Oh,
was,
okay, that's what
I
she
want to
was in
say,
first.
maybe around number 9 or 10, somewhere in that area. And of course, the cover was by Mike Zeck, so you immediately fell in love with her because you're like, wow, that looks like a fantastic character. Because Mike Zeck could make anything look good. But
Yeah. I love
I'm
that.
just a.
There's a Punisher image I just love that's in the mini Mike Zeck cover. I just love it. When I was going to my first comic shop, they used to sell like things that had like these wooden doils, and then it'd have a felt cloth over it, and somebody would paint the take the image of like a Mike Zeck cover and put it on the felt. I'll have to take a picture of one of these for you so you can see it. And I used to collect those. They used to be hanging all over my wall back home. And
I
I don't
don't think
have
I've ever
anywhere to
seen
put
that.
them now, but they're pretty amazing. Matter of fact, I think I'm going to take some to work because they're in a box right now, and I might as well display them.
You get to hang stuff up at work.
Yeah.
That must be nice.
I have my calendars there because I love the retro calendars because they turn into posters. I don't know if you've ever seen them, but they're like Silver Age, Golden Age, and I always, after I'd done the calendar, I'll put up the posters in my on. I cover my. People probably hate my cube, but a lot of other people, a lot people all put up other stuff. Like people put their little Funko toys up, or they have race cars or whatever their hobby is in their cube. It
Well, you
kind of
got to
like
admire.
pers for you sh I think it's you're right, and the reason I think it is yeah, you have your clean desk policy and all that other bullshit, but if you spend 12 hours a day at work, you might as well make it feel like home at least.
I'm all for it.
Because you're there.
That's right.
Yep. So
I'm
how do
trying
you
to.
go ahead.
I was gonna say I was trying to remember the other commission that I pre-ordered, and I remember now it was by Tyler Cosley from a sketch that our buddy Joe Crawford did with a dinosaur eating a member of Team America with a Red Wolf and Tigra in a mini car chasing into the battle.
Really?
It's just insanity,
Why
and
have I haven't seen this? 'Cause Red Wolf is awesome. I just recently got a full run of that.
I
And
will have to send you a picture of that one.
I kid you not, I am a fan of Team America. Team
I
America and US One
yes.
are two comic books that I'm like, I had no idea how good they were. They just like stand out like as this weird oddity. And I don't know, they're fantastic.
Well, if you tried to explain those books to somebody nowadays, they would probably just think you were crazy. But they are just so cool.
Yeah, they're very cool books. I love US One.
I did too. And
Yeah.
they had some great covers on that book too.
Yeah, it was such an odd a truck driving book. It's like, how do you think of this? How do you get it approved?
Apparently it was some kind of toy tie-in to a race car set, some little electric race cars apparently.
I had no idea a toy
I
like
didn't
that.
know that until recently. I was looking at something the seller had, and I clicked on, see what the other items the seller has, and it was a Tyco, I think it was Tyco, electric set of US One, and I was like, "Is this related to the comic?" And they were like, "That's what the comic's based on." I was like, "Really?"
Another rabbit hole. Did you have a Tyco racetrack when you were a kid?
I did not. I never did. I had a few railroad cars
Oh, the
and
rail,
a
the
track you
train
could set
set.
up, but they were a lot bigger, and I mean these were metal and heavy duty. My dad was a train buff, and so he had a few of those that were, quote unquote, our toys.
I had one Tyco railway track, but it was just a circle one. But we had this real elaborate Tyco racetrack where my dad is really good at like his hands, like carpentry and stuff.
Right.
And he like glued the track, this really elaborate track that we put together with several other tracks, and he put it on a fold-up wall in our garage. And then when we wanted to play with it, it would come down and form a table, and we put our every neighborhood kid had their own car, and then we'd come on this racetrack, and like I had a 57 Chevy. I didn't have many cars. I had like three. And the 57 Chevy is always one that I would race with. But we'd have like these races on this Tyco track.
Nice.
Yeah, it was
Everybody
really
came
cool.
to your house to do race cars then.
Yeah, that's what it was. Race car and then Atari after that.
Nice.
Yeah, we had a pretty good play set. But we didn't really have a lot of money. It's like my dad would have these like Christmas clubs. Like he would save all year. And I like believed in Santa forever because Santa Claus would come and we'd have all these great gifts under our tree. But really when we got gifts, it really wasn't around birthdays or it was around Christmas time. because my dad would save up all year for them. And usually it was something like really awesome. Because we'd circle stuff in the the JCPenney and Sears catalog.
Well, that's how you would make your Christmas list back then.
Yeah. Were you big into cartoons at the time or not really?
Oh, I was huge into cartoons. Especially in the 80s when you got into the syndicated stuff like G.I. Joe and stuff. It would be rush home and watch G.I. Joe, and I think Transformers came on after G.I. Joe, and then I would go out and play.
Ah. So I never got into G.I. Joe until recently.
Really?
Yeah. My brother got some. I just never watched the cartoon. It was a little bit past when I was watching cartoons. But did you consider G.I. Joe a war comic?
Originally, I did, but it became more of a sort of a military superhero thing to me,
yeah.
Which I still love it. Larry Hama is one of my favorite creators of all time.
Do you still get G.I. Joe or no?
Oh, yes. It's still on my list. I'm enjoying cool. it.
Yeah, I like A Real American Hero.
I enjoyed the work that Brian Shearer and... Oh, what's his name? Shannon Gallant.
Yeah, Shannon. Did. Oh, he. I don't know if you've had a chance to get commissions from him, but he's real affordable, and he does a damn good job.
I saw some of his posts after Heroes Con, and I was like, okay, maybe next year.
Yeah, I don't know if you saw mine. I was really into Buck Rogers. That was another one of my TV shows, and I got one with Twiggy and the vampire from that vampire episode where he bit Aaron Gray.
You're going to have to send me a picture of that one.
Yeah. I love that episode.
I love every episode with Aaron Gray.
Me too. I even liked the second season. Even though they said they jumped a shark, I just think it's an amazing show.
Well, in my area, they would put it on after it was canceled. They put it on Saturday afternoons. So yeah. you would go out and play for a little while when the cartoons were over, and then you would come back in and watch Buck Rogers.
Yeah, Buck Rogers was awesome. I think I saw it when it was on primetime, and I think the movie debuted at the theaters, because I could have sworn I watched it at the drive-in.
You might have, because back then it was a big thing to have a premiere pilot movie.
Did you ever see Battle Beyond the Stars?
I don't know if I did or not.
It featured John Boy from the Waltons.
I never got into the Waltons. My wife watches that now, and it's just not my thing.
Yeah, it was kind of like the presence of it's like what if the Magnificent Seven was in space?
Well, now that you just sold me on it there with that tagline.
Well, it's because you know how they had to protect a small town and he had to put a group together. Well, that's what happens where they're trying to protect a planet, and he puts this like ragtag alien group together. He like gets one bounty hunter. I think one of them is like a famous actor. I think he was actually in the Magnificent Seven. It's Vaughn, something Vaughn. I can't remember his
Robert
name.
Vaughn?
Robert Vaughn.
The man from Uncle?
Yeah, he's in Battle Beyond the Stars.
Well, okay. I'm coming over and we're going to watch that.
I would tell you to go to Netflix, but it I don't think it's on there anymore.
Well, I don't have Netflix. I live in the woods, and I don't have high-speed internet.
That's right. That's why we're talking on the phone right now.
Well, as long as it works.
Yeah.
I'm always down to talk comics.
Hey, anytime you want to talk comics, this is great. But I think you'd like it. Because The Magnificent Seven is one of my favorites. And there's
Mine
the Return
too.
Of the Magnificent Seven. Liked Yul Brynner a lot.
I did too. I think I saw him in Westworld first.
Oh, really?
And then, and then saw Magnificent Seven. But Westworld, there was something about a cowboy robot. I was like, I'm all in.
I've never seen Westworld, so maybe
Oh,
I
you've
need to
got to watch
check that
that.
out.
Oh, yes. If you like Yul Brynner, you've got to watch that.
Yeah, I even watched The King and I, but I do like Yul Brynner. So I need to put that on my watch
He's
list.
such a surprising movie star, especially back at in that day where, you would expect all these people were changing their names to, Cliff and Richard and something very masculine. And here's Yul Brynner coming in and like, I'll kick your butt.
Yeah, and he was a bald guy.
Yeah.
Usually that you don't go for a bald guy, but he was a very good-looking man, you gotta say, He was bald, but he was a good-looking man.
Well, my mother certainly thought so. We watched a lot of The King and I when I was young.
Yeah, and that was a musical, wasn't it?
Yes, my mother and father were into musicals, and most of my upbringing was either dad was watching a Western, a war movie, or we were watching a musical. And
It
so
sounds like our dads are very similar. I watched a lot of westerns. The Rifleman. I mean, it was like
yes.
I would watch John Wayne films over and over again because my dad would watch them over and over again. He still does. Like, there's a what is the one that he always watches? It's like Hondo or Han. I can't remember what it is, but he's always watching that. Even when I go back home, and he's still watching it.
It, now, the question is he watching a DVD or is it just on TV that much?
It's on TV that I think he's got like Stars Western or something like that.
Okay.
Yeah. So he'll put it on the Western channel a lot.
My father wanted that so bad, and until you would tell him it cost money. And then he's
Yeah.
like, oh, no, I'm out. He was like, what channel is that? I want it. Like, you have to pay for that one, Dad. Oh, never mind.
Well, MeTV shows a lot of Westerns during the day, I think. And so
They
does
do.
the Heroes and Icons. A lot of Westerns.
I like the Westerns. There's just something, and it's probably because I grew up watching that with my dad. There's something comforting about putting those on. I don't even have to pay that much attention, and you can know what's going on, and I can go do my chores, start some wash, load the dishwasher, move some comics out of the living room, and come right back, and there's Chuck Connors kicking the vagrant who came through town, locking him up and sending him on his way.
Yeah, Bonanza was another one. Always watch that one.
I've gotten into that one with my wife now. She's into Michael Landon,
Yeah,
and
Little House on the Prairie.
yes, she started watching Waltons, and I transitioned her to Little House on the Prairie and now into Bonanza. And I can handle Little House. I enjoy Bonanza, but the Waltons is just out of my comfort zone. Too
Good night,
much
John
touchy
Boy.
feely Depression era stuff there.
Yeah. The only thing I remember for the Waltons is the good night, John Boy.
Right.
It's like they'd say it at the end of every show, they turn the lights off and they tell everybody good night.
There's a lot of drama in that show, and it's
Too
just
much
not
for
my
you.
thing.
But you'd read a Walton's comic book.
Well, yeah, I would read a comic. That's a whole different ball game there. Let's get Mark Lamming to draw it, and I'll buy two copies.
Know what I kind of want to get into is the Lost in Space comics because I'm kind of into Lost in Space again. I used to watch the black and white a lot in serial form, like right syndicated
Right.
on UHF when I was a kid. And I really love that. And then I watched the movies, and now I'm watching the Netflix TV show. And I think the comic book was like Swiss Family Robinson or something like that.
It was Space Family
Space
Robinson,
Family
Lost in
Robinson.
Space.
Yeah.
And there's also a run in the 90s from Innovation.
Yeah.
And I know at least one of them has just an absolutely gorgeous cover by Joe Jusko, however you say his name.
Oh man, do you remember the cards back in the day that he used to do? Holy
Yes.
moly!
That's a very talented fella.
Oh, he is. He still does stuff from time to time, but I don't know why he didn't do as much. Because you talk about a cover artist, that's one hell of a cover artist. I know IDW is putting out a collection of his cards, like in a print format.
Right.
And I was tempted to get it, but I have the cards, so
Well, I can relate to that. The stuff like that you hope shows up in a discount box at the show later
yeah.
on. And then you'll buy it anyway.
Yeah, 'cause he's good.
He's really good, yes.
Yeah, I don't own
But
any Lost in Space comic books to my knowledge.
rabbit hole.
Yeah. Lost in Space Innovation. Dark Horse had one too.
I think theirs was based on the movie in the 2000s. Was
Oh yeah,
that?
that's right. It's the movie. Innovation. That one ran for a while. That had 18 issues and a bunch of annuals.
Innovation did some good stuff back then. They had the Quantum Leap license and did some a good series with that.
Oh, these covers are gorgeous.
Yes, they
Like,
are.
holy moly! The annual one. Have you seen that?
Is that the Joe Jusco?
I gotta check this out. I'm gonna post this on Twitter later so you can see it.
I love that
I'm going
stuff.
over to the cover. Yeah, it is Joe Jusco. You're right. It's beautiful. It's annual number one. And you had
Yes,
like
yes, yes.
Mike Diodato Jr. on covers.
Yeah, there's some good stuff in that
George
series.
Perez. Holy moly. I gotta at least put one of these on my next order.
I recommend. Now, I haven't read it in what, 25 years or whatever it's been since they published them, but I was buying that every month.
Which you still have. Probably, right?
Yeah, I've got them somewhere. I couldn't tell you what box or what house they're in, but they're
Oh,
somewhere.
I do have some Lost in Space because American Gothic Press did some in 2016.
All right.
It's like the next season. It's like a continuing season.
I don't think I'm familiar with that one.
Yeah, I do own that one. That's the only one I own. But there's a this is a rabbit hole I gotta go to just for the covers alone. Damn.
Yeah, I wanted to get that annual signed by Joe at Heroes a couple of years ago, but I couldn't find it. And then when I was putting the stuff away after the show, I found it. And I was like, "Dadgummit!"
Wow, Billy Mummy actually wrote some of these. He's the actor.
Yeah, he was involved in, I don't know if it was just one issue or several issues, but he got involved in comics for a little while there.
Wow.
I feel like I've done a good deed. Barb may disagree, but
Yeah, she was like, she's listening. She's like, oh no, another rabbit hole.
how does your wife feel when you find a new rabbit hole to go down?
She knows it makes me happy. She wants me to have comics, but she doesn't want me to have as much comics. She wants it controlled.
I can
She
understand
knows
that.
it
That's
makes me happy. Like there was even a time where there was a time where I stopped getting comics because we were saving for a house, and she's the one. She sat with me and she says, "Mike, you should at least get 10 comics to keep your sanity." She said, "You do not want to go cold turkey."
A good woman right there.
Yeah, so she kept me going. She knew if I cut off the source that I would not be as comfortable in life.
Yeah, I don't think I could quit. I think I've cut way back, but it's oxygen to me.
Yeah.
I would not feel right without comics on the way.
Wow, I think I'm gonna get this Joe Jusco one for sure. It's annual number one. Matter of
Now, is
fact, when
that
you said it, I just moused over the covers in my database, and the one that I fell in love with was Joe Jusco.
Cover stands out to me. I mean, I'm just a big fan of his work, and then I love Lost in Space. I've always been a night owl, And during the summer vacation, my parents were pretty tolerant about letting me just basically stay up all night long. I'd read comics and watch TV, and then I would go to sleep after my dad went to work. And I think it was TNT when we first got cable.
Yeah.
Would show classic shows like Man from U.N.C.L.E., Hogan's Heroes, Lost in Space, just in the middle of the night. All the local stations had signed off. That's how long ago this was, when stations would close up for the night. But I would stay up to have those shows on, and I'd read and sort comics all night long.
It's a good time.
That was, looking back, I didn't know how good I had it at the time. Looking back, that was some of the best times of my life.
And this cover looks like it has the robot in the back, and it's got Dr. Smith, and there's two really sexy ladies chained to the wall.
Yeah, I think, I want to say it's like a partial wraparound, that it goes from the front to the back, but it's not full edge to edge. There's like a strip of text on the back, so you don't get a true wraparound, but it's oversized art.
Yeah, it was a great sci-fi. Yeah, some of these artists that they've gotten, especially in the like Gold Key paint, have you seen like Gold Key painted covers? Like even
yes.
Magnus Robot Fighter and Solar, there's just some beautiful covers, man. Holy moly.
Well, the Magnus appeals to me because there's just something about, you know, a man karate chopping a robot and he's falling to pieces. I mean, what little boy wouldn't go, wow, I want that comic, you know?
But it's awesome because what it is, it's like the robots are trying to take over society and people are letting it happen because they're so damn lazy.
Right. It's
and
Wally.
It's the exact same concept. And the interesting thing is that A1 or whatever his robot name is, he raised Magnus to fight his own kind. So, yeah, it's an awesome concept. Do you get Valiant books?
I get a little bit of everything. I have not been buying many of the Valiant, but our buddy, between you and Joe Crawford and Ross Michaud, and y'all's love of Valiant, I've started adding a few more to my cart the last couple of months. So I'm waiting for them to come in and see what have I been missing.
So you're probably looking at like Bloodshot and Ninjak, is that what you're targeting?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Faith doesn't look as appealing to me, but the Bloodshot and the Ninjak and
XO
has some beautiful artwork.
The Ninjak, I think you'll really dig because there's ties into history, like it goes back to the 40s and stuff. So
wow,
you have like World War II Ninjak, and the same with Bloodshot. There's like a Vietnam Bloodshot. So it might be something you're interested in.
I saw the Vietnam Bloodshot. I bought a couple of back issues at a half price sale at Second and Charles, and I picked up a few. I sent out a picture saying, all right, guys, if this stinks, I'm blaming you. But I really enjoyed it. So then I've added a few to the pre-order cart, because most of the time I try to pre-order the stuff, because then I don't have to usually worry about tracking it down later. You get a discount.
Yeah,
And usually you get your stuff. You know, your stories recently of damages and stuff just break my heart, because that's the whole reason you pre-order, so you don't have to deal with that crap.
Well, I haven't had damages in from DCBS. I've had damages from other people shipping.
I don't like to hear about any comic getting damaged. I love them all.
Yeah, yeah. So anything else you want to talk about tonight?
I love comics. I don't know if anybody knows that about me. I'm a very, very blessed man to be able to collect comics, because it's definitely.
If you had to wag how much you have, how much do you think you have?
You mean like how many comics do I have?
Yeah.
I have. My wife asked me that the other day. I think you had announced you had like 65,000 in
Yeah,
one
I'm
of your.
going on 67. Yeah.
And I told her about you. I brag about you to her because you're my kindred spirit in collecting. And she said, "Well, how many do you have?" And I said, "You know, I don't have any idea."
That's why
The
you
last
need that database,
I know.
because the thing
Does it
about
give
the
you a
database
total?
too is it gives you totals and it also breaks them up by publisher. So like
Oh yeah.
if you look at my pie chart, over half the pie chart is DC Comics for me.
In the
And then
immortal words of Kool-Aid Man,
that's
oh
right.
yeah.
Oh yeah. That had a comic book too.
I've got it. I
I
love
do
it.
too.
Dan
Hey,
DiCarlo.
Kool-Aid. Yeah, it has it come crashing to the wall or something. Hey, Kool-Aid. Oh yeah.
That was good stuff. I wish they would do that again.
Kool-Aid man. Wasn't it Marvel that put that out? Who put that
I
out?
think it was Archie,
Oh,
because
is
I'm
it
pretty sure it
Archie?
was Dan DiCarlo art on the cover, and that's an Archie guy.
Well, I actually got the one that
Let's
was.
see. I've actually got one in this stack sitting next to me, and it is number four from Archie Comics Group.
Oh, nice. I actually had. I don't know if I have this now, but I had the mail away one that you would get if you send away five Kool-Aid envelopes in
Yes.
1975.
It was
And
different.
it was published by General Foods. And it had two goofy dudes on the cover, and they were holding a quart of Kool-Aid.
Yeah, I remember that. I think they were like the Thirsties or something crazy like that.
Yeah. It's actually worth a lot of money. I got to try to find it. $97. Holy
Is it
shit.
really?
Yeah. Five Kool-Aid envelopes. My parents
Wow.
sent away for stuff like I used to always send away for stuff. Like even with the Star Wars toys, I have the Boba Fett because I cut out the back and send away the UPC symbols and stuff like that.
Very nice.
Is
See,
it
I
called
don't.
The Adventures of Kool-Aid Man? What is that one called?
That's what the cover says. Let me check the
Yeah,
indica.
that's The Adventures of Kool-Aid
Yeah,
Man. I
Adventures of Kool-Aid Man.
have number two. That's the only one I have.
This is, according to the indica, The Adventures of Kool-Aid Man number 4, Kool-Aid Caper Sweepstakes Edition.
Oh, I was right. It's Marvel Comics and it switches to Archie. It switches to Archie with number four.
Wow.
And that's why I said Marvel
So we're
Comics,
both
'cause I own
right.
number two. Yeah.
Go us.
Dan DiCarlo on as the artist.
See,
Wow.
Dad, I'm not as dumb as you said.
I knew I had one of them.
I think I've got them
This one
all.
has the Thirsties. I gotta show you the cover of the other one, 'cause that's $97. God, I know I have. I know I had it. I hope I can find it. That's a lot of money.
Yeah, that's I had no idea they were worth that. I used to read The Overstreet as soon as it came out religiously and try
I
to keep
love.
up with where
Did you love
prices
that
were.
magazine? It was awesome.
If it has comics in it, then yes, I probably love it.
But it was like a quarterly book or something. It was a magazine format, not the Overstreet Monthly book. This is when you needed a price guide
Right.
every month
Right.
because things would go up every month when
Well,
comics
I
were
would re
hot.
monthly, I only bought Wizard, and then I would sometimes buy the Overstreet, sometimes buy, I think it was called Comics Value Monthly, and occasionally something else. But I would always buy that big annual Overstreet. I'd study the prices so I wouldn't get ripped off anymore. And now, if you told me something like Kool-Aid Man, you tell me it's worth $97, and my mind just goes,
I'll post that on Twitter. I'm gonna post three things on Twitter. I'm gonna post the Joe Jusco Lost in Space. I'll post the Kool-Aid Man that's worth $97, and then I'll post a picture of my fort, my army fort,
I
so you can
definitely
see
want to
it.
see the army for it,
Yeah.
and go back in time and play with little Mike Myers and play Soldier Man.
That's right. But hey, Kool-Aid.
I love Kool-Aid. I usually
The
add a little more sugar than the recipe calls for, though.
other books that I like a lot, and I'll pick them up whenever I can, are like The Adventures of Bob Hope, The Adventures of Jerry Lewis, and the Dobie Gillis, but I never can find
Oh,
those.
I love that stuff. I haven't seen a Dobie Gillis in a long time.
You don't know how much I love that show. I used Dobie Gillis to pick up my wife.
Really?
Yes, because he was the guy that taught you everything that you needed to know about picking up a girl. And it was
And for
older,
those
it
who
was
don't
before
know,
my time.
that's Gilligan's first appearances in Dobie Gillis.
Yep, he was in there. Bob Denver was, he was the awesome one though.
Well,
He
he
had
was the
that,
stoner hippie.
he had that beatnik little thing on his chin. Do you remember?
I do remember. I used to watch that. I think that was one of the first shows that Nick at Night had when they went retro at night. It may have been a different station. I may be confusing my stuff, but it seems like I watched that on Nick at
I
Night.
actually think that's where I watched it, at Nick at Night. This was before TV Land.
Right.
It was Nick at night, and they would show Dobie Gillis. And these were reruns of that, and I fell in love with that show. Like
I
I
did too.
loved it. And I've always wanted to, those are hard to find books. Like you don't even see a lot of them show up on eBay
No, you don't. And
or
when
at
they do,
comics.
that's usually a buy it now at a really high price. Yeah,
But
I wish I'd worked harder on completing that set many years ago, but I
yeah,
was focused on the war.
I have a only a few of Dobie Gillis, but when I do catch one, I'll get it.
I hadn't
Sometimes I'll
thought about Dobie in a while.
see him for cheap at like at Heroes Con. There's a place called Tomorrow's Treasures. I don't know if you've ever shopped at that place, but he has like a box of $5 books, a box of $10 books, a
Oh,
box of
yes, I've spent a
$20
lot of money
books.
with that man.
Yes, isn't it awesome? Because you can
He should
find
name
some.
his grandchildren after me.
I love going through the $5 book area because you could find some gems in there.
Well, there's good stuff throughout. He's just got some awesome stuff that you don't see everywhere. That's the main thing,
Yeah,
is it's not,
that's where I
you know,
found some
it's
Dobie
not
Gillis.
something that anybody else in the show probably has. We
Yeah.
shop. We probably shouldn't be saying this. Y'all don't shop with him, kids. Leave
Yeah,
everything. Leave
leave
everything for
everything
me and
for
Mike.
us. Yeah, that's right.
Y'all stay
Tomorrow's
away.
treasures.
He's terrible.
I love them. I love going through that $5 box, the $10 box, and the affordable boxes
Yeah.
because there's just some. And that's where I like got Captain Marvel number one. I got like a whole bunch of great stuff in that box.
Well, it's usually something that you can't find. You've been looking for, and you've just about given up, and then there it is in the box for $5, and you're like, "You're kidding me."
Yeah. And there I've gotten some GI Combat in that thing too. Some GI
Nice.
Combat and some Sergeant Rock.
Well, you know, I definitely approve of that.
Yeah. I gotta at some point. Well, you had said you had an extra of that Sergeant Rock battle
Prize Battle Tales.
yeah, and I am
Yes.
interested in that one.
Okay.
Yeah. Put aside your extra for me.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't have that one.
That is a great issue. I mean, any of them are good, but then that, you know, it's oversized. It's got reprints of some of the other classic tales from the other titles. It's not just Sergeant Rock. You'll get a Haunted Tank story and a Dinosaur versus Soldier story from Star Spangled War Stories. And
Yeah.
I just eat that stuff up.
Did you ever read like the War of That Time Forgot to stuff?
I do.
Yeah.
I like the more realistic stuff better, but I love it. I mean, it's hard to explain how I could say it's at the bottom of my war list and still love it so much, but I just have a never-ending amount of love for comic books.
Yeah. Yeah, that
And
Do you,
the
let me
artwork
ask
in them are amazing.
you this question. You may know the answer. I don't know the answer to this. I know the answer for Jonah Hex, but I don't know Is there a digest size DC comic war comic?
Well, there were a few reprints. I think they were in the Best of DC Blue Ribbon Digest
Yeah,
series.
that's what I'm asking. Was there
Yeah,
any?
there's at least two Sergeant Rocks at least, and there's at least one Haunted Tank.
Do you have them?
Yes.
Oh wow, I gotta seek those out. I
In
know there's
fact,
a. It's the
one
only
of the
Jonah
digests
Hex
was
I'm
one of the
missing,
first
is the
ones.
digest.
That was one of my first comics that I bought new, was one of those digests.
Oh
And
yeah.
it reprints one of the early, I would say around number 124. I may be off a little bit, but
Yeah.
Sergeant Rock like has amnesia of some sort, and they convince him he's a Nazi soldier, and he's like marching against Easy Company, and they're like, hey, we can't shoot rock, but we can't get killed either, you know. And
Yeah.
so I was just on pins and needles, and I think it was a 95-cent digest, and I read that sucker to pieces.
I used to love those 'cause those were at the grocery stores.
Yeah, they were everywhere. I mean, even if,
Yeah.
you know, even if they didn't have comics, they would usually have digests up at the checkout.
Yeah, it's just like Archie now. Archie has a have the digest size comics at checkout still.
Right.
But they used to have these blue ribbon things, and I only own a handful. Most of the ones I own are the Adventure Comics ones. But I do want to get the Jonah Hex and the Sergeant Rocks now that you say that they exist.
They do. There's at least two Sergeant Rocks, and there may be more. But I right off the top of my head, I can vouch for there being two. And there's at least one Haunted Tank, and there's at least two Jonah Hex.
Yeah. Well, I'm gonna at some point I want to complete the digest because I think those are awesome. I probably can't read them anymore because the
They're hard
print
to
is so
read.
small, and I'm getting at the age where I have to take my glasses off to read.
I
So,
know exactly how you feel. That's
yeah.
been a problem for me with some of these indie comics where they still have the hand lettering. That's been the hardest thing for me, is
Yeah.
reading the hand lettering. I'm like, I need a big font. I'm half blind. Work with me, guys.
I'm glad that we talked about that 'cause you sent me down another rabbit hole. So the rabbit holes you sent me down are the Lost in Space Innovation and the Digest War ones.
Tell Barb I'm sorry, I do it with love.
Well, she knows all my friends do it with love. She just doesn't like
Well, I can relate to that. My wife's
it.
my if my wife was sitting here now, she'd be like, oh, great. She's gonna want more comics.
More comics. Yeah, it's an awesome hobby. So,
Well,
any
it's always been there for me. When people fail you, there's always a comic.
That's right. They never let you down.
They never let you down.
And they let you escape. It's a form of escape.
It is.
And I'm glad we grew up in a time where I guess comics were prevalent in part of our lifestyles because they were before video games and they were before we had technologies. And it was, hey, if we wanted entertainment, it was either radio, TV, or comics.
Or a book and records, yeah.
Yeah, book and records. Records are coming back though.
And they're expensive.
Yeah, vinyl's coming back.
I went to a closing down FYE movie store, and I like the artwork on the records. I don't even have a record player, but I like the artwork. And I was like, well, maybe I'll get this record or that record and just hang it on the wall. And they were $50 each.
Yeah.
Before the discount, but I was like, oh no, step away, little fat Spencer. That's an awful lot of comic books.
It's a lot of comic books. Did you ever have Power Records that came with a comic book?
I did.
Oh, what
I
did you
never bought
have?
one new. I've never seen one new in the store, but I got them at flea markets and yard sales and things like that as a kid, thanks to my mother.
I don't think I have any in my collection now, but I only own two of them. I owned a Tomb of Dracula, and I owned a Man Bat.
Oh, I had that Man Bat. That was I want to say that was a Neil Adams story, wasn't it?
It sure was.
Yes.
Yeah.
Good stuff, good
And
stuff.
it had some good sound effects for bat noises and stuff. It was
Now
awesome.
my actual favorites were not technically comic related, but they came with the comic book. You played along with the record, and they were G.I. Joe adventure teams, and they went on a spy mission and stuff. And there were
I didn't
at least...
know they had them that late.
Oh, they...
Because G.I. Joe was like late 80s, right?
Well, now this was Adventure Team. This was like at the end of the original 12-inch G.I. Joe runs. They
oh,
had switched,
shit.
They had switched
you're
from being military.
You're talking about the fuzzy beard.
Yes, yes, and the Kung Fu grip. And they had at least three book and records, and those were my absolute favorites. So
you
if you ever see those...
Do you have
yeah.
a G.I. Joe?
I do.
Oh, nice. I had one, but I don't know what happened to it. That's one of the casualties.
He's in terrible shape. He's not worth anything. Please don't break into my house. Most of my good toys, most of my good toys got stolen. My parents' home got robbed, and they took everything of value out of that house. They even stole the car out from under the carport. And
wow.
they got a lot of my toy collection.
Well, that sucks.
Yeah.
There are two toys that I can't track down. Matter of fact, just like last year, I found my original Millennium Falcon. But it was in the attic at my parents' house. But the two toys that I couldn't find are my G.I. Joe and I had a Rom the Space Knight.
You had Rom?
Yeah, I did.
Nice. I never had a Rom.
That was a great comic book, too.
Yes, it was. A lot of good talent on that comic.
Hell yeah. That's something I need to complete at some point, but I have a good list. That and the Micronauts. I have the Micronauts I used to love.
I was late to Micronauts. I didn't like them when they were new, but I think it was probably much later after they were canceled, and I started getting into Butch Geese, I'm not however you say his name, and then I went back to the I think it was the X-Men and the Micronauts, and then I went back to just the Micronauts, and I've been hooked ever since. I was like, why wasn't I reading this when it was coming out?
Well, I had a three pack. I bought one of the three packs, and it had Micronauts 1, 2, and 3. And then I didn't have Micronauts for a long time, but then I completed it, I don't know, about 15, 20 years ago. But those were Bill Mantlo's stories with Michael Golden art, and the Michael Golden art is sweet.
Like, yes, it is.
This is like his best stuff.
I would put it right below his work on the NAM and the early issues of the NAM, as far as which ones are my favorite. If you said... Kirk, you can pick two pages from two titles by Michael Golden. I'd say, okay, give me a NAM and give me a Micronauts.
I didn't even realize Pat Broderick drew a lot of it, too. Well, you had Pat Broderick, Michael Golden, Howard Chaykin, Gil Kane, Butch Geist is one you're talking about. Steve Ditko did the annual. I don't own that, though. Well, that's interesting. That's a lot of talent on there. Kelly Jones and even did an issue. Well,
that's some early Kelly Jones stuff.
Yeah, that's 59. He did the last issue. That's a good run, man.
Bill Mantlo doesn't get enough credit, I don't think, for being a great writer.
Yeah,
you know, he would get stuck with the assignments nobody else wanted and just make it entertaining.
Well, I saw that documentary about Transformers, how they came up. Bill Mantlo is the one that came up with that shit.
Really?
Well, they already had the designs and stuff from Japan, and the toy company came to Marvel and said, well, how can we market this? They didn't have, like, all the names and everything. And he came up with, after they had the designs from Japan, he came up with all the names, and he came up with how the plot was going to go for the Transformers. And that
was
like,
that in?
It's a documentary called The Toys That Made Us.
Oh, okay. I watched an episode of that at my sister's house, but
yeah,
I hadn't seen the Transformers one.
Well, if you're ever at your sister's house, tell her you want to watch the Transformers one.
I'm coming, sis.
It's in the next season. Season 2.
I'm coming over.
Yeah. Did you watch the G.I. Joe one then? Is that what you watched?
I watched Star Wars and He-Man.
Ah, okay. Are those toys that you had?
Yes.
I didn't ever own a He-Man. I own the Star Wars.
I didn't own He-Man himself, but I had all, well, not all, but I had a lot of the supporting characters. I loved the villains especially were just super cool to me.
Yeah.
I really got into the look of Skeletor, and they had one that looked like a skunk, and he stank.
Yeah, Stankor or something
And
like that.
yeah, something
Skunk
like that.
Skunkor or some Stankor. I can't remember.
I don't. I just remember he looked cool, and then he just
He smelled
smelled
awful.
terrible. So of course, as a loving big brother in the 80s, I would rub him all over my sister's face, like, and then probably get the whooping of my life from my father. But it was
But it
worth
was
it.
worth it. It was worth it.
I was not a good big brother, I'm sure.
You're a pain in the ass.
I know I was. I was ADHD and all over the place.
With your little skunk or walking around.
Yes, indeed.
All
Wearing my
trouble.
underoos and rubbing He-Man on your face.
Yeah,
Eat my
I didn't
Mr.
know.
T cereal.
I even watched the Mr. T cartoon.
Yes, I did. I remember we went out of town. My dad was in the Coast Guard, and we would travel to places like Jacksonville and stuff for him to do Coast Guard things.
Yeah.
And I remember freaking out because the Friday night before the cartoons premiered on Saturday morning, they would have a special primetime show where somebody from one of the other shows would like talk about the new cartoons. And I knew it
Yeah.
was going to be on, and I was so afraid I was going to miss it because we were late getting to Jacksonville. I wasn't sure that the hotel was going to get that channel because back then you just didn't know.
Yeah.
And I got to see it and then stayed up or got up early the next morning and watched Mr. T and his little gymnastic friends.
Yeah, those were great times because you'd watch the you'd have the TV Guide fall preview,
Yes.
and then you'd have the you'd have that Friday cartoon show where they'd introduce what's gonna play the next set the coming season.
I loved that stuff. I feel bad that kids today don't get that kind of excitement over these shows. You know, it's just.
I was so excited that me and my brother would get up before the cartoon started and watch the color bars on the TV. That's how obsessed we were.
I can relate to that. I mean, that was the only thing in my life where I've ever just wanted to get up early was so I could watch the premiere of the Saturday morning cartoons. You know, everything else, I'm a night owl. Please don't
Yeah.
get me up early. Oh, wait, the new season of cartoons is coming on. Get me up first thing. I don't want to miss a second of it.
Yeah. And for us, we didn't have like our parents didn't wake us up, so we would just it was like Christmas morning, you just have like this internal clock that would go off at like 5:30.
I don't
And
have that internal clock.
well, we had this internal clock that would just go off, and me and my brother would go down there and watch the color bars for a half hour because we knew that Rocky and Bullwinkle or something would start at 6 a.m. and then Dudley Do-Right and stuff like that.
Right.
Yeah, it was crazy. But that's like now you don't have to because you have a whole Cartoon Network you can watch or Disney. You just have it on demand.
Well, you
Everything
don't
is.
have to get up to watch anything. You can just hit record on your DVR and
Watch it whenever you
watch it
want.
whenever you want to.
If you missed it, you never knew you were gonna see it.
No, I can remember crying one time because I missed something, and I was like, you know, I'll never have another chance to see this.
Well,
It was a huge deal.
I still give my brother shit because the $6 Million Man was my show,
Right.
okay? And there was an episode where he had to go undercover as a cop. And I never saw this episode because of him. So, before the show was getting ready to start, and I was like all excited, $6 Million Man's gonna come on. And he decided to shove a crayon up his nose. And my dad and mom were trying to get him to blow it out. And instead, he kept on inhaling it in. So this crayon was so far up his nose, it was almost touching his brain that we had to take him to the emergency room to get it extracted. And
And
I've
you
never
had to
seen that
go.
episode till this day, even though I have the DVDs. I took a picture of the DVD to my brother and I said, "You know what? I'm gonna watch this someday." Because I never saw that episode.
The question is, what color was the crayon, and does that color tint his vision now? Everything that he sees now has an orange tint from having an orange crayon up his brain.
It was a long time at the hospital too, because they had to get like this weird contraption to pull it out. He had sucked it way up there.
So he did this all on purpose.
No, I don't. I think it's just like, this crayon smells nice. It might have been one of those smelling crayons.
Right.
It was definitely a lead crayon, probably, that you won't even allow anymore. And he just like sniffed it right in there.
Way to go, brother.
Yeah.
Well, let me ask you, since you're a little bit older than me, there was always a mini series. It was at least two episodes, and it would play during the summer, I think on CBS. And it was a two part, at least two part, maybe a 5 day mini series. I'm not sure. But it wasn't just an ongoing thing. But every summer it would play, and it involved some white kid befriending a Native American boy. And they would go on an adventure somewhere. And I can't remember anything about the name. I don't remember who acted in it, but it came on every summer for at least 3 years in a row as a kid. And I'd love to see that again, but I have no clue what it was.
It doesn't ring a bell.
Dadgummit.
Yeah, it doesn't ring a bell. But I don't think I watched much TV in the summer. I only watched it in the fall, like when the series started.
Right. Well, I've been a TV addict my whole life. Even when I was reading, I'd have the TV on in the background.
Yeah.
So, whatever, even when I walk out of the room, I leave the TV on and I'll just come back and
Was
it's
it
still
an
there.
adventure series like
It
Johnny
was an
Quest or
event.
something, or
It was a
what?
live action sort of Johnny Quest, but it was a white kid. I want to say he had blonde hair, like a little Ricky Schroeder type.
Yeah.
And
What years
he.
do you even have a time frame?
Late 70s, early 80s.
Late 70s, early 80s. Okay. I'll see if I can find this for you.
If you can find that, you will definitely be my hero. Not just comic book hero, but all-time hero.
Well, the thing about having a podcast is maybe somebody will listen to this.
Yeah, somebody's like, that idiot Kirk, doesn't he know it was this?
Yeah. I'll have to figure that out. Well, there was a show I watched that I used to love, and it's really obscure. It's called Cliffhanger. And it would have like three shows. One was a vampire show, one was like a adventure show, and I can't remember if the other one was a racing show. But there were like It would always have those three shows, and then it would end in a cliffhanger, and then you'd have to watch the next day. I mean, the next week.
I don't remember
But I
that one
still
at
love
all.
that show. I've been trying to track that one down. That's my show that I've been trying to
Now,
find on
when did that
DVD.
air?
That was probably the late 70s.
I'm going to have to
Matter of
ask
fact,
my.
I was watching. I'm trying to get a commission of all the sexy ladies when I was a kid, where my hormones were going nuts, by Shannon Gallant. It's gonna have Jamie Summers for the Bionic Woman, Farrah Fawcett from Charlie's Angels, Erin Gray's gotta be in there,
Oh, yeah.
and Linda Carter. Those were my favorites.
Yeah, you can't go
Growing up.
wrong with any of those. When I was a kid, I decided I was going to marry pretty much every one of them. I had no clue what marriage was really about. I just knew that I was in love with these women.
Yeah. Matter of fact, I was watching MeTV yesterday. I was watching Different Strokes, and they had a commercial for something I didn't even know happened, but I'm dying to watch it. It's a crossover with the Charlie's Angels and the Love Boat.
I saw the commercial for that.
Yeah, I'm like, this is gonna be that has to be awesome.
Do you know what day that's going to be on? Because
No,
I don't remember
I
what they
just
said.
heard I heard it from I was walking away from the TV to go get something from the kitchen, and then I heard Charlie's Angels in the Love Boat, and I'm like, what?
Yes, my wife has not enjoyed this summer season of Charlie's Angels, but I have. I have a
Yeah.
lot.
That was my show back in the day. I really liked it.
Well, my dad was not big on TV for the most part. He
Unless it
would he
was a
would
Western.
unless it was a Western or war movie. He didn't watch a lot. Well, I guess he did watch the series. He watched, Gunsmoke and The Rifleman and stuff. But he didn't like a lot of normal primetime new dramas. But he did watch Charlie's Angels, and I understand why now. I didn't get
Yeah.
it as a kid, but I get it now, Dad. I get it. You're all right with me.
Did you ever see the John Wayne movie where he was a Green Beret?
Yes.
Oh
That
man, me and my friend that used to play Army Men, we used to love that movie.
I liked that. Now, my dad was normally a John Wayne fan, but he didn't like that one. He didn't think it was realistic enough.
Yeah.
But I loved it. Because I was already a fan of the Duke because I watched all the other movies with him,
Right.
and then he's a soldier. This is even
Right.
better.
Yeah, he's a Green Beret. It was awesome. Was it titled that? Do you know? The
I
Green
think it
Beret?
was. I think it was called the Green Berets, plural with an
Yeah,
S.
plural. Okay. One of the last questions I want to ask you, and I don't have any of this, but you may, is Remco put out a Sergeant Rock line back in the day, along with Warlord. And I don't own either of them, but and I know that Kmart sold them. Did you get any of those?
I had the Sergeant Rock toys. Now, the Sergeant Rock were scaled to fit to play with G.I. Joe. They were like 3 3/4.
Yeah.
And I was so excited because the ads were like, here's Sergeant Rock walking through the desert, illustrated by Joe Kubert, and he's getting closer and closer to you, and it says Sergeant Rock is on the move in 82, and then check your Kmart for the figures, and you go down there, you get to Kmart, and the only figure you'll recognize is Sergeant Rock. Everything else is generic. There's no Bulldozer, there's no little Sure Shot.
Yeah.
It's Sergeant Rock, and here's a marksman, here's a Green Beret. So
Yeah.
I was really disappointed in those, but I still bought the Sergeant Rock figure, and they would have a different goodie to go with it. Originally, it was a dog tag. Later, it was an iron on, and there may have been some other things. But anytime they changed the goodie, I'd buy another Sergeant Rock. And
Do you still
the
have that, or was that a stolen one?
I've still got a Sergeant Rock sitting on my DVD case. He just sits there and patrols the living room, and
I gotta have a picture of your Sergeant Rock.
All right.
I need to have a Sergeant Rock picture.
And I've recently bought a carded figure from Josh Cruz to replace some stolen stuff.
Oh,
So
nice.
I've got an open one sitting on my DVD case just on patrol, and then a
Yeah.
carded one. And the Warlord figure, Warlord was the only one I bought, but they were scaled to play with the Masters of the Universe. I
Yeah, they
think
were bigger. They were bigger.
there was an Arrak and maybe.
There was an Arrok and a Deimos, the
Okay,
villain.
the
Yeah.
only one I bought was Warlord because I liked Warlord.
They might have a Machiste too. I
I
don't think
think,
they came out with any of the women, and I love them.
yeah, I don't think there. I think it was all men, a few
Yeah.
good guys and a bad guy or two, but
Yeah,
the only one I had was
Deimos was the.
Warlord.
I want those. So like if I ever go to a con and see them, I'm getting them.
They're
But I have
expensive.
not seen them. I have not seen a copy of them at a convention.
Mike Grell came to Heroes Con a few years ago, and I decided, I always love to get something signed that means something to me. Not
Yeah.
necessarily the most valuable comic he's got, but something that means something to me. And I said, something cool to get signed would be that Warlord figure, still on the
Yeah.
card, because that was the only one of those figures I bought. I loved the Warlord, and I looked them up, and they were like $100 each. And I was
Wow.
like, you know what? That's not in the budget for the right now. But
Yeah.
I would love to get one of those and get it signed by Mike Grell.
Yeah, those are some toys that didn't last long,
They
but
didn't.
they were like a year, maybe a year and a half,
Well,
but
the Sergeant Rock, they did a few waves of those.
oh, did
They
they?
must have done all right. But I think the Warlord kind of came and went.
Oh, the other one they had was Hercules too, because Hercules
Oh,
had a 70s comic book as
right.
well. Yeah.
I think it had a Simonson art in a, maybe it might have just been
Yeah.
covers.
And I just remember the Hercules figure, he have a stick. He had like some stick heels on
But
too.
it's his whooping stick, and he'll whoop the
Yes,
tar out
whooping
of you with
stick.
it.
Yeah. Yeah, those are I wanted to ask you that.
Yeah, that was.
Enemy, one last, because I'm thinking of all these questions in my head, but
Okay.
we probably got to wrap because it's getting late your time. What are your thoughts on Enemy Ace? We didn't go into that.
I love Enemy Ace, and I would love to know what the fan reaction was, because when they came out with that was like 64, 65 when he
Yeah.
first appeared. And I mean, most of these veterans were still around and, young, vibrant people. And
Yeah.
here's this comic where the enemy is portrayed sympathetically.
Well,
So
not
it's,
only that is that's Blitzkrieg. Do you remember that one?
oh, I do.
That was the enemy too.
Well, there was going to be a second series based on the Panzer unit. And the story I heard, if I'm remembering it right, was Jeanette Kahn put the kibosh on that and said, no, we're not doing another one of these.
Yeah.
And they had already completed like the first issue, and they folded it in. They did a story around it and made it a DC Super Special with Sergeant Rock. And they had like Rick Estrada draw the Sergeant Rock story, and somebody like George Evans or somebody did the Panzer art. So it's dramatically different styles, and the
Yeah.
Panzer art is much better. I would have loved to have seen a comic on a Panzer unit. That just blows my mind that that was almost a possibility.
Well, did you see there was a movie with James Franco about World War I fighter pilots?
Flyboys.
Yes.
Yes, I took my father to see that. We were both excited
That
about that one.
is an amazing movie. I mean,
It's.
I love that movie. And it's weird because they portray that one German. There's that one German fighter pilot that's not dirty. And every time I saw him, I thought of Enemy Ace
I did
because
too.
it was because he's like flying by the ship. Like he was even mad at the guy that played dirty. Like he's like, you shouldn't be shooting down. He went and shot like an American that landed in the field. Like he and that other German was mad at him. It's like for him it was the challenge. Do you know what I
Right.
mean? It was, we're gonna fight and we're gonna fight fair. 'Cause he could have killed James Franco. He was
Well,
riding back of him, guns loaded. He could have killed him and he didn't kill him.
yeah, that was a really good, and I am not a James Franco fan, but I love that
Yeah.
movie.
Well, I thought it was cool though because it was like a love story too. Like he would fly in to save that girl and her family.
Well,
And those Germans were in that they were in their house.
did you, there was a Batman Legends of the Dark Knight annual that I found it last year, I think. Russ Heath drew it. There was a flashback where he there the guy had gone over, and it was much like Flyboys where he had enlisted, and I think it was the Balloon Buster had gone over and was fighting them in World War One, and he had fallen in love and went back to save the girl, but he was too late. It's anything with Russ Heath I recommend, but since you've mentioned that, now you should put that on your list and look into that one.
Yeah, I'll look at it. That's one Batman title that I have. I don't have the full thing.
The quality on that one varies quite a bit, but you can't go wrong with a Russ Heath
Well,
flashback
that's
tale.
one that I want to complete. Like one of my big goals is have every DC comic since 1973, and I have almost all
Nice.
the main stuff
Why
completed.
would now why since 73? What's the marker there?
That was the first time that I really knew I got hooked on the Flash and
Okay.
started getting DC Comics hardcore was
Nice.
1973. That's when comics like that's when my eyes just really discovered comics was in 1973. And DC was where I was at. DC's always been kind of like my company. Like if I have to quit stuff, the stuff that I take away last is DC. And it's just because that's what I grew up with.
I've always been more of a DC guy, I guess you could say, but I like them all. Don't get me
Yeah.
wrong,
Oh,
but
so do I. You know that. I
if I
mean,
just had to choose one, I'd probably go with DC.
so I'm looking at the annuals. Oh, Russ Heath, Annual 7. Oh, yeah, it's got the fighter. It's a Pulp Heroes issue.
Yes, that's it.
Yeah. Yeah, I have it.
Pull that
It's
bad boy out
written
and
by
read it.
James Robinson and drawn by Yoel and Russ Heath.
Yeah, the Russ Heath stuff is definitely the star of
Oh,
that
that's a
show.
beautiful cover too. Holy moly. That's an awesome
I didn't
cover.
even know about that one. That one was, it came out around the time I was buying a lot less new stuff and focused more on, I had gotten tired of paying a whole lot for new comics and then finding them in the bargain bins later. So I had dramatically cut back on my new comic buying. And so I missed that one. And somebody
Yeah.
mentioned it on Twitter a while back. So I hunted it down. And golly, it's a good issue.
Yeah, I have to. I need to f get that and reread it. I think I know where it is too.
That's a nice bonus to have. I don't know where half my stuff is.
I kind of have
Someday, someday.
the ones that I have a really hard time getting to are the long boxes on there that are stackable. They're not in drawers. They're my older books
Right.
because they're just stacked on top of each other and they're heavy as. They're heavy as hell. Like
Yeah.
there was an episode, there was a show called 6 Feet Under and on HBO.
I remember it.
Yep.
I didn't watch it. We didn't have HBO, but I know the show you're talking about.
Okay, and it's about a family that owns a funeral home. But at the beginning of each episode, it kind of has a death and kind of how they have to take care of this death. And there's one episode where a guy is reaching for his long box, and they're about stacked six high, and he's crushed to death by his long box. And we always make fun of that because everybody says, "That's you, Mike. You'll be crushed to death by your
So
boxes."
there's an actual death of a guy. He's killed by his comic boxes.
That's right. He the box crushed him.
I'm gonna have to hunt this down now. Do you know if that's on YouTube or anything?
I do not know, but it's a 6 feet under. You might be able to do like 6 feet under guy crushed by a comic box. I don't know.
Maybe it's on one of my sister's streaming
Yeah.
services. Sister, I'm coming over.
HBO Go, but I think you might be able to find just that scene,
I
on
can
YouTube.
totally relate to that. There's been times when I've been digging in the bottom of a box where I've stacked stuff precariously around me. And I'm like, if that fell.
I don't usually go six high. This guy was six high. I usually go five high.
Well, I don't leave them six high, but I've definitely done it while I'm sorting and working and putting stuff in order.
Yeah. But you're probably taller than me. I'd
Oh,
get
I don't
crushed.
know about that.
Well, I'm 5 foot 2.
Oh, okay. I got you by a little bit then.
Yeah.
I think I'm 5'8".
Yeah, so you can probably survive a 6 foot high one. I probably could get crushed.
I don't know. I'm old and weak. I'd be crushed under it myself.
I'll see if I can find it on YouTube after we hang up.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's wrap this one up.
All
How
right,
can
it's
they
been
get a hold of
fun.
you, Kirk?
I am at Big Five Army on Twitter, and I'm also the same on Instagram, though I do not know how to use Instagram.
I don't even have an Instagram.
I joined it recently, and I have no clue what I'm doing, so if you want to chat with me, stick with Twitter.
You will get to see a lot of good things if you follow him on Twitter, so I highly recommend it. I'm at Mike Myers Brunch, and email is mike@comicbooknoise.com, and you can find us at Geek Brunch Podcast. And this is Mike M's Collector's Corner, and thank you for joining me. We'll have to do this again real soon.
This has been a real pleasure. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, I was so glad we got your phone to work. Because, man, I wanted you and Ross on. And everybody's like, "Oh, I don't know how to do it." But
Well,
I'm
I'm a
glad we
caveman.
I'm glad we got it to work. So
Well, it was a
because
blast.
yeah, it was a great time. I still got a lot of things circling in my head for more questions, so
Well, we
we'll
can do
have
it
to
again soon.
do it again. So take care, and I hope you have a good week, my friend.
You too.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.